Sarah's school. I'd like to point out for you two exits in the back in case of an emergency, two exits in the front. I'd like to welcome the board, the superintendent, and all of our guests that are here on this evening. Please rise so we can salute our flag. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to be able to turn this meeting over to our board president. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to our April 9th, 2024 Board of Education meeting. We have five board members present, and two are absent. That's Michael Jaime and Angel Ramos. Approval of the agenda. May I have a motion to approve the agenda? Move, Ms. Laws. Second. Second, Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? All in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you. Motion approved. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for the regular meeting on May 12th and the special meetings on March... Wait a minute. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for the regular meeting on March 12th, the special meeting on March 13th, March 21st, April 1st, and April 2nd. May I have a motion? Move. Ms. Laws, second. Second, Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? Yes.
I am abstaining from the special meeting on March 13th as I was not present.
Okay. Two abstentions. Any opposed? All in favor? Yes. Motion approved. Can I have the reports from the Vice President, Ms. Capers? Any remarks?
Good evening. The Sewanaka Central High School District celebrated Gallery at 77 on March 14th. Student artists from each building proudly displayed their artwork to teachers, staff, and families. Please come on over and experience the exceptional, talented artists. On Thursday, April 11th at 6 p.m., students will once again display their artwork in unity at the Elmont Public Library. The artwork will remain on display until the end of April. Check us out. School social workers in Elmont, Flora Park, and Sewanaka presented Aaron's Law to all middle school students in order to teach students healthy relationships and incidents of child abuse in an easy-to-understand and non-threatening manner. Elmont, Sewanaka, and Flora Park competed in a unified bowling program facilitated by Nassau County Section 8. Unified bowling provides students with developmental disabilities to partner with buddies and participate in a 5-week bowling season at Garden City Bowl. All student participants thoroughly enjoyed this experience, and our bowlers are sure to return next season for some more excitement. Our world language departments celebrated National World Language Week in March with an array of activities and events that showcased the linguistic diversity within each school. Events included cultural dance lessons, cultural songs, food, and a showcase of culturally diverse maps that represent where our students are from. The Lee Marcus Model UN Nations Conference took place on Saturday, April 6th at H. Frank Carey High School. Delegates from Elmont, Floral Park, and Sewanee participated in a day of leadership while highlighting resolutions to national challenges and debate over security, world peace, artificial intelligence, and food insecurity. Congratulations to all student delegates on an outstanding conference. Elmont, Sewanee, and Floral Park students have organized and participated in blood drives that generated life-saving blood supplies to the American Red Cross. The Elmont report reads, Elmont students celebrated Pi Day with math contests that tested math memory and reciting as many digits of pi as they could remember. Winners were 11th grade, Hazram Ezra, 18 digits. 10th grade, Habiba Sajid, 14 digits. 9th grade, Lulu Desir, 129 digits. Yes, yes. 8th grade, Christian Okazi, 30 digits. And 7th grade, and overall Pi winner, Roz Azabar, 206 digits. Very nice. I just ate pie on March 14th. I don't know what these kids are doing. Adrian Jackson was recognized by the American Red Cross for donating blood to all three Elmont blood drives, totaling 1 gallon of donated blood. Elmont was one of 5 schools to receive a $2,500 STEM Challenge grant to help students build projects that help Long Island improve water quality and reduce nitrogen pollution on school grounds. The Herald featured the students and science teacher, Catherine Farley, in an article. That's it for the general report and the Elmont report. Thank you, Madam President.
I didn't want to interrupt your report because I still think at the end of the day it's very important to highlight what our students are doing here, but I am very baffled about what is going on. I received a memo and a copy of a flyer saying this was a special meeting tonight, although I know there was a calendar invite for this meeting tonight. So you are proceeding like there is a regular meeting, and we got minutes, agendas, and you approved it. But I'm not understanding. What happened to the special meeting?
What special meeting are you referring to?
Well, maybe you should go back to the minutes, the March 12th, and you can see how we ended. And there was supposed to be a special meeting. I'm looking at a flyer right now.
Excuse me?
By the way, my name is Rochelle Lewis.
Okay, Ms. Rochelle Lewis.
I will say that. But I'm looking at a flyer right now that says there would be a special meeting of the Board of Education. You're holding a regular agenda meeting, which you did have. But I'm not understanding what's going on. So when we left the other meeting, we closed it in a certain way. I would have thought that would have been how the president would have at least opened and addressed it right off the bat, but you did not. So can I ask what's going on?
We are having our regular board meeting April 9th, 2024, at this time.
So what happened to the special board meeting that was supposed to happen?
Our special board meeting, if you had given me a chance and...
No, you had your chance.
No, I didn't have my chance.
President Ms. is right here.
Ms.
That's why I came in at the second part, too.
Ms. Lewis.
Yes.
If you'd let me speak.
Sure.
I will... And you can have a seat at this time because this is a regular meeting. It's not a special meeting.
How come?
And at this time, I just want to make two announcements. One announcement is that we are live streaming this meeting for the community to see. And the second thing that I wanted to let you know is that there will be a representative from NISBA, that's the New York State School Board Association, to have a special meeting with this board in executive session. Regarding the removal of a board member.
So there will be no special community meeting?
No.
So, but you waited for me to come up here for you to say that?
No, I was
not.
You came up here without being invited.
The president's remarks. I gave you that chance. You went right to the reports of the Sewanica. So I'm not interrupting it. You didn't say it. You didn't address it until I asked.
Okay, thank you, duly noted.
No, I understand. I understand I could go sit down, but I just want to make sure my concern is clear.
Duly noted.
Duly noted. Mm-hmm.
No, we're not. This is not the section for community members to come. You are out of order. Could we remove the mic? We are not having any agenda items at this time for you to speak at this point. You are out of order at this point. Please, please be seated. Please be seated. No. Because it's not time yet. We are still, this is a board meeting.
Okay. So we are over number three.
So. Sharon, would you please give your report on Floor Park?
Sewanica.
She didn't do Sewanica.
I know. I said you want Sewanica and Floor Park.
Yes.
Because both of them are here.
Yes. Thank you.
Good evening, all. On the Sewanica High School report, Matthew Baccarini won the PTSA Reflections competition in the category of musical composition. Social studies teacher Diane Andres' class celebrated Women's History Month with a display celebrating influential women in history. Italian classes in grades 7 through 9 attended the Italian musical Superintendente Verdi. The musical department sponsored a field trip to Stony Brook University to attend an orchestra performance conducted by music teacher Dr. Wu. In Floral Park Memorial High School, the Video Game Club hosted its second annual Sakura Fest tournament. After an exciting battle, Cody Ortiz and Jaden Cruz tied for third place. Jake Urban received second place. David Salcedo won first place. Congratulations to all winners. The math department recognized Pi Day with a math family fun night where students and teachers played interactive math games. Congratulations to Ashad Dawes, Salutatorian of the Class of 2024 on acceptance to Yale University. College workshops are being held for the 11th and 10th grade students. TOP began the discussion about the college application process. The Assistant Director for Admissions from Binghamton provided a virtual meeting for parents and students. Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, I'm going to read a statement for the public so that they, from the school law edition, 38th edition, about the removal of a board member. Are removal hearings conducted before the Board of Education required to be held open to the public? No. According to New York State Appellate Court, there is no First Amendment right of public access to a board-conducted removal proceeding. That is the reason that we will not be discussing any board member removal process with the community. Well, it is the law. Are there any audience members who would like to speak on agenda items only?
Good evening. Dwayne Palmer, Elmont resident. So just regarding what you just read, as I'm looking at last month's minutes, we have Attorney Gomez that says that any open business that was not concluded should happen immediately upon the opening of the next meeting, correct?
Mr. Palmer, the board has already said that they are not going to be voting on this matter until they have a special meeting. And just a reminder to everyone, this section is for agenda items only.
Well,
that item that was discussed was not on the agenda last month, and it's not on the agenda this
month. I'm sorry, on agenda items, under caption B, other matters, other items for board attention, right? That is an agenda item?
No, I'm seeing audience comments on agenda items only as the third.
In section B, other matters? Section B, two other items for board action or attention?
That is for the board agenda, not for the public participation portion of this meeting.
But it's an agenda item, and I have a question on an agenda item, so I can't discuss it now?
It's not an action that is before the board at this time, no. It's not on the agenda. So the portion of this meeting is for questions about items that are on the agenda to be voted upon by the board.
Okay.
That item is not
so
on the agenda.
So the appropriate time to ask my question would be?
That would be audience items at the end of the meeting after the board has gone through the other resolutions and voting items. That would be the appropriate time.
Thank you for the direction.
Thank
I'll
you.
Be back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bond committee updates.
I'm sorry. I have a question. Good evening. Tricia Wong, Parkway Drive in Elmont. Can you please, President Garlick, just state again what section of the law you just read and what edition?
It is school law, 38th edition.
38th edition. Is that the
page
latest?
Page 79.
Page 79.
And this is school law 1709.
17.
18 in parentheses.
1709.
Yes.
Is that the latest edition? It is. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bond committee update. Ms. Capers?
We are scheduled.
We're scheduling our next meeting at Alden, here at Alden, and we're just confirming a date that's suitable for all members.
That's the end of our report.
Thank you. May I have the report from the attorney?
Good evening, everyone. I have two resolutions for the board's consideration this evening. The first resolution is with regard to a 913 examination. Whereas the Board of Education of the Elmont Union Free School District, the Board of Education has the legal authority to direct an employee to undergo a medical examination pursuant to Education Law 913 to determine the employee's capacity to perform their duties. And whereas the district employs a teacher aide whose ability to carry out their duties has been called into question, whereas it is incumbent on the district to take action to confirm whether the teacher aide has the capacity to perform their job duties, now therefore be it resolved, the Board of Education hereby directs the teacher aide at issue, whose name is known to the Board of Education but is being intentionally withheld from this public resolution, to submit to an examination by a physician selected by the district to determine their capacity to perform their duties at a time to be determined at the mutual convenience of the teacher aide and the physician. Be it further resolved, upon reaching a conclusion on the teacher aide's capacity, the physician will prepare and submit a report to the district that will be considered by the Board of Education. Do we have a motion?
Move.
Moved by President Garlick. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Capers. All in favor? Thank you. The second resolution is with regard to the authorization of an agreement. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves an agreement with an insurance archaeology company called Policy Find and authorizes the Board of Education, and authorizes the board president or her designee to execute such agreement. Do we have a motion?
Move.
Moved by Ms. Garlick. Second. Second by Ms. Laws. All in favor. Thank you, President Garlick. That concludes my report.
I'll return the meeting over to Dr. Card. I'm a miss for the report of the superintendent.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to tonight's meeting of the Board of Education. I hope all of our students, staff, and our Elmont families are looking forward to the upcoming spring break part two. I am. We are in the home stretch of the 2023-24 school year. Our administrators are making that final push to end the year on a high note by providing guidance for students daily so that they may be in the position to chase their dreams. I have been fortunate to see, either in person or through social media, the wide variety of school events and activities that represent the multiple ways students are able to find their niche as learners, musicians, dancers, and artists. We continue to ensure that excellence shines here in the Elmont School District. Our students and staff have accomplished much. Our faculty and staff continue to do an amazing job with and for our students and their families to ensure that their aspirations can be realized. I have seen incredible leadership from our administrators while partnering with parents on behalf of our students. We all should be very proud of the nurturing environment that exists here in the Elmont School District. Of equal importance is the celebration of our staff. On March 26, members of our school community were recognized by the Elmont American Legion Post 1033 at the 41st Law and Order Recognition Program. Congratulations also to Ms. Battle, because she was recognized as a part of Sewanika Central High School District. Congratulations to each of the award recipients on a job well done. As a reminder, the Eid al-Fitr holiday for our students is tomorrow, April 10th. Our schools will be closed for students only. Eid Mubarak to all those who celebrate. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Education will be on Tuesday, May 14th. The budget vote and trustee elections will take place on Tuesday, May 21st. Please remember to vote. Thank you. Moving on. At this time, I will give the report of the superintendent. Professional. I seek a motion to approve the professional personnel items on page 1 through 7.
May I have a motion to approve the professional personnel items on pages 1 through 5?
1 through 7.
1 through 7? Move.
What?
May I have a second?
1 through 5. 1 through 5. 1 through 7.
Or 1 through 7.
I have 1 through 7.
Let's
make sure.
Let's make sure.
Okay.
1 through 5. I was correct the first time. Yes? Yes. No. Personnel items and number 2.
Got it. Yes.
Okay, so it's 1 through 5.
I hope I have the one. Okay, moving on. Did you do 1 through 5?
Yep. I think you should start over.
Okay, very good. I seek a motion to approve the professional personnel items on pages 1 through 5.
May I have a motion to approve the professional personnel items on pages 1 through 5? Move, Ms. Capers. Second, Ms. Laws. Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion approved.
I seek a motion to approve the civil service personnel items on pages 6 through 8.
May I have a motion to approve the civil service personnel items on pages 6 through 8? May I have a motion? Move Ms. Law, second. Ms. Early Davis, any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved.
I seek a motion to approve the Committee on Preschool Special Education, Section 504 Committee Recommendations on page 9.
May I have a motion to receive the Committee of Preschool Special Education and Section 504 Committee Recommendations on page 9? May I have a motion? Move Ms. Laws. Second. Second, Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion approved.
Very good. I seek a motion to approve the other items for board action, attention, items 4 through 10 on pages
10
through 17.
16.
Other matters. Oh, very good. 16.
16. May I have a motion to approve other items for board action and attention, items 4 through 7 on pages 10 through 16? Move Ms. Laws. Second. May I have a second? Ms. Early Davis, any discussion? All in favor? Any?
It's 16.
Which page?
Yes.
He said 4 through 10.
4 through 10.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes, I'm waiting for a second on that motion. Ms. Capers, any discussion? All in favor?
No, for what is it? Page 14, number 7.
Page 14, number 7?
Yes. That's the
end. Opposed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 in favor and 1 opposed.
For
number 7 only. Motion approved.
Ready?
Yes.
Items 1 through 4 on page 17 are noted for the minutes.
Items 1 through 4 on page 17 are duly noted for the minutes.
Very good. I seek a motion to approve the schedule of disbursements and warrants on page 18.
May I have a motion to approve the schedule of disbursements and warrants on page 18? Move Ms. Laws. Second. Second, Ms. Capers. Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion approved. Go ahead.
I seek a motion to receive the Treasurer's Report on page 19.
That's a motion. That's a motion.
I did once. I seek a motion to receive the Treasurer's Report on page 19.
That's a motion. Okay. So we have a motion. May I have a motion to approve the treasurer's report on page 19? Move. Ms. Lewis, second. Second, Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? All in favor? Mr. Ramos? One abstention. Motion approved.
I seek a motion to approve the business report, items 4A on page 20.
May I have a motion to approve item A on page 20?
4A.
Move, Ms. Laws. Second. Second, Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? All in favor? One abstention. Motion approved.
Items A1 on page 21 are noted for the minutes.
Items A1 on page 21 is so noted for the minutes. Page 21.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Sorry. A through I. My apologies.
Thank you.
Items A through I on page 21 are noted for the minutes. Correct date.
Items A through I on page 21 is so noted for the minutes.
Very good. And item, this time it's a 1. 1A, the vandalism tallies for February on page 22 are noted for the minutes.
February or January?
February.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Vandalism tallies are so A1 is so noted for the minutes on page 22.
Thank you, and this ends the superintendent's report.
Does anyone have any committee reports or informational items, Diana? Miscellaneous. Anyone have any old business? Yes. Audience. The board. Do you have any old items that you... Yeah, we did. Yes, we did.
Okay, by Angel Ramos, trustee. I was asking if we had addressed the last motion that we left off with.
Mr. Ramos, I know you weren't here, but in the last one of our sessions, we discussed having a representative from NISBA, the New York State School Board Association, come in to a special session to speak to the board regarding board member removal.
So
that is not discussed in the public session. It is discussed in an executive session.
Okay, so then, so long as the audience understands why the that motion is still outstanding.
It's not a motion that could be made at this time because we have to seek advice from NISBA.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any new business? Does anyone have any legislative items? Does anyone have any items for future consideration? will at this time have a budget presentation?
No.
No?
No. It's next week.
Correspondence. Is there any correspondence? Oh, and the correspondence that we had were concerning the removal of a board member, so we can't discuss it here.
Excuse me, my correspondence from March 12th was still not answered. You said it was not answered this meeting.
So, Ms. Lewis, thank you for that comment. I would ask that people do not speak from your seats. We have the microphone there, and once we have the portion in which audience items can be addressed, your questions and your comments can be processed in that way. But you can understand that we want to have an orderly business meeting, and having people shout out from their seats does not promote that orderly occurrence of the meeting. So one at a time, we will do that once we get to the audience participation section, and I appreciate the cooperation.
Thank you. But I was not for the audience participation, just for clarification. She was talking about the correspondences from last time. That
sure.
Was, so it was not for a new question.
I understand. But if there are any questions or comments, we're going to need everyone to wait until we get to the audience items, and then you can bring forth whatever you believe the board may have previously missed. So thank you for that.
Ms. Raby, would this be the opportune time to talk about my correspondence from March 29th?
Once we get to audience items, any correspondence items that have not already been addressed, and we're still in that section now, you can feel free to bring forward at that time.
Okay. Correspondence March 29th. I just want to get some feedback on
that
email.
We're not at that portion yet.
Not at that portion yet.
Thank you.
No, she can sit.
We're going to go.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so is there any other correspondence that need to be addressed?
If the board doesn't have any other items, now you move on one at a time. So I believe
Ms. Lewis was the first person with a question about correspondence, so now would be the time for us to address it, because the board has already talked about the correspondence that it would like to address at this time.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think I am slightly confused. So if you could just clarify for me, please, what's happening. On the correspondence section, right, mm-hmm. I understand that this is the time that the board will be answering any correspondences received. So if that's not what it is, because we haven't been doing it any way differently, can you just explain to me what we're saying before I ask or don't ask my questions?
Sure. When we get to the correspondence section, that is when the board is going to address questions that it previously received and it has prepared responses to. Anything that may have been missed or anything that wasn't previously brought to the board is going to be brought forward in the audience items. That's the portion that we're at now, number 11 on the agenda, in which you can talk about correspondence items, you can talk about items on the agenda or not on the agenda, but we need the board to be able to move through its other business first.
Okay, so when I stood up before and asked the question from my seat, like you said, it was already addressed that it was missed on March 12th.
Right, we understand that. We can't have people speaking from their seats. We need people.
No, I'm just talking about the timing of when it falls into the agenda.
Yeah.
So it was already missed on March 12th, so it was already something that was missed. So you just want me to bring it back up now on the correspondence of now for this section.
Yes. Under Section 11, audience items, absolutely.
Okay. So am I supposed to reread the same questions that I reread on March 12th that were submitted via email 2 weeks prior to that? Because I read it, and if you go through I just don't understand what I'm doing right now.
Sure.
You can read your question.
So am I reading it for an answer, or I'm reading it for it to be tabled again?
If we could answer the question, we will try to answer it. If not, then I would have to table it.
So do you want me to go through each one and stop and then wait to see if you're going to answer? And like, how do you want this done? Because it wasn't one question.
You can read your question, Ms. Lewis.
So you want me to go through each one? So I'll ask, the question was, who referred Dr. Card for the position?
Who referred Dr. Card for the position?
The board appointed and hired Dr. Card after conducting interviews and going through its own search process. There's not any one individual who hired Dr. Card. That was a public board resolution.
Okay, but I wasn't saying hired. I said recommended. Okay. So why did the board need to scramble for a replacement if you have an assistant superintendent of curriculum and technology?
It is a board's responsibility to have leadership at the top, and we needed a superintendent, and that's why we scrambled to have one here. We were going to lose our superintendent, the superintendent along with an assistant superintendent, so we needed a leadership at the top.
Why do we have an assistant superintendent of curriculum and technology if we have a director of curriculum and a director of technology?
We only have one director of curriculum and instructions at this time. We have been missing a director of curriculum and technology for how many months now?
So my question was,
why do we have
an assistant superintendent of curriculum and technology? Because at the time when I submitted, I cannot pronounce his name, and I do not want to do him injustice. The one who left was in that position. Then we have a director of curriculum. That was Dr. Garcia. That is Dr. Garcia. Then a director of technology, which is Fernando. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my question is, why do we have an assistant superintendent of curriculum and technology, and we have a director of curriculum and a director of technology?
We have a director of curriculum and instruction. Mr. Spinato was promoted to assistant superintendent of curriculum and technology. These are positions that have been a part of this school district for many years. So asking the board why we have it, we are looking at restructuring our central office, and that is something that we will be looking at.
So then my next question is, where can I find the job descriptions and an organizational chart to clearly define who reports to who?
It's on the web.
Okay.
I didn't see that on the web. Can you direct me to where I can find
it? We will put one up. We're currently in the process of, redrafting our organizational chart. We could get it? Okay. We'll put one up.
Thank you. And what was the status of the request for the special meeting on the $2.4 million and my request for the budget line information where the $1.8 was recorded in our budget presented on the onset of the school year and any subsequent transfers?
Okay, I am going to refer that question to Tom.
Well, I just want to respectfully say there was a special meeting that was held and we went over some budget items and we did discuss that 1.8 and the 2.4. My question at the time was, where was the special meeting that was supposed to happen? I got my answer that night that we met at the district office.
No. We are currently in the process of...
We'll be posting something for you.
We're putting together a PowerPoint that we'll post and we'll also review at our May meeting to actually talk about the historical events that led to the funding agreement as well as the funds that have been received, as well as those that are anticipated, and how we intend on spending those funds. We're currently putting it together, so we're going to make sure that it's tight and it's on point. Also, there'll be a piece clarifying the difference between a funding agreement and pilots, because I remember from the budget input meeting that came up as a concern, and we need to make sure that there's an understanding of the difference between a funding agreement and pilots. So we'll take care of that on May 14.
My other question was, there was a special meeting held on 12-2023, whereas the board members present passed a resolution to appoint a hearing officer in the matter of disciplinary proceedings. Can the board explain why we need to hire a hearing officer? What is a hearing officer? Who do they represent? And how will we know what the outcome of the hearing is? And what is the approximate cost of this hearing officer? How is one selected? I know that was a lot, so.
I don't know which item. There are different hearing officers. I don't know if this was an impartial hearing or
not. You want me to give a general, general response?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to make a joke.
Don't.
Okay, so hearing officers are required by law in New York State, and typically...
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
Hearing officers are required by law in New York State for things such as impartial hearings, usually dealing with special education. Hearing officers are also required in the case of a 3020A when we seek to dismiss a teacher. Hearing officers might be required for a superintendent's hearing if the superintendent is not acting as the hearing officer. So there are many different circumstances under which we will use hearing officers. Usually that is confidential because it's usually a personnel issue or it's an issue related to a specific student. So hearings are private matters that are conducted in closed doors because it's usually a litigation to either discipline a teacher, discipline a student, or where a parent has a concern about particular services that are providing to, that are being provided to their student through special education. That's what a hearing officer is.
So I guess because of the description that you just gave me, I will not know specifically why we need one.
Correct.
But how would we know what the outcome of the hearing is, and what is the approximate cost of a hearing officer?
It depends on what the hearing is and how long the hearing goes on for. And no, you wouldn't know the outcome.
Okay. And how is one selected?
There's a list that's published by New York State, and usually we go off of that list.
And then they're appointed.
Thank you.
Okay.
There was a resident that came up last month, which would have been 2 months ago, to ask about the Senior Star. The board president stated that she would follow up with some information for the resident, and I stated I was curious how this worked. I have attended several meetings and cannot remember a time that the board, whether this current board or the past boards, reported on their position, action, or lack of action regarding the STAR exemption. Can you please explain to me the role the board has with the STAR exemption? Where can I find past notices to the community from the board on actions, decisions taken? Also, who is responsible for communicating this information? And at the time I said, why was the consultant, Mr. Galanti, answering the question? But I actually know the answer because of the March 13 meeting. So you don't need to answer that. I think I just need to know about the STAR communication and the role that the board has.
Go ahead.
Can I ask, because I see you're about to answer, why would it be you responding to me?
I handle taxes and tax exemptions.
Okay, so you, can you talk to the process?
Excuse me, Ms. Lewis, you have to direct all your questions towards me.
You pointed to him.
And I have the right to assign anyone at this table
I know your
to
functions.
Speak. I'm the president.
I know that.
Okay, thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
I am asking Mr. Galanti to speak at this time.
Okay, so I could ask why he's being asked, right? It's all about just informing and getting education, right? I don't understand why there's a hostility.
It's
I asked
hostility.
Why he's answering Okay, can you answer my question? Would you like me to repeat it? I don't know if you're...
No, I think I have most of the pieces. First, it's... I think your question is not about the STAR exemption, but it's about the senior citizen exemption. STAR is something, by law, this board doesn't authorize it, this board doesn't do anything about it, just so you know. STAR is automatic when certain people own a home and so forth. But for other exemptions on property tax assessments, okay, the way New York State works is the New York State will pass a law and then say the local taxing authorities, meaning a school district, a town, a village, a county, then has the authority to decide for their community, do you want to give that exemption or not? So that's how it lands on a local school board for school taxes as it relates to senior exemptions, volunteer firefighters. There's a long, long list of them, okay, but not STAR, okay? So the senior who brought this up, it was relating to the senior citizen exemption, okay? The for that matter, we've already done research. It first came up about a year and a half ago, and there wasn't a lot of information to work with. The way exemptions work, and I'll do this as quick as possible, if you receive an exemption, that means another person pays that extra tax that you're saving. So if a senior gets an exemption in school taxes, that means all the non-seniors pick up the tab. But it's distributed to a lot of other people that are non-seniors, okay? So we currently offer a senior exemption. And what happened about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, New York State said, we're going to allow the exemption, the eligibility to get the exemption, expand by saying it's not going to be cut off at $30,000 of income. I'm using a rough number, but to give you a sense, about $30,000 of income. As long as you're a senior and you're making less than, say, $50,000, you'll be eligible. Now, here's the thing. This board, we don't know how many people out there that are seniors are making 50 or less. We know how many are making 30 or less, which was 321 seniors who had applied for and gotten the exemption. But at the time this came up, we had no idea. Could it be 1,000 people? Could it be 2,000 people? And if it's 2,000, let's just say, we have 12,500 taxpayers roughly, okay? Residential taxpayers. So the bigger that number, the more everybody else pays. My office gets all the phone calls. Whenever tax bills go out, if they go up by a chunk, we're getting phone calls because people see it, right? So where we're at right now, given the question that was raised a meeting or two ago, we went to the county and I did a request asking the county to provide us, because the county implemented this, so your county property taxes, the county said, we're going to increase the limit for the county. A lot of school districts didn't pass it, partly because of the same reasons for us. We had no information to go on. But now we do, because the county implemented it. So now we've got a year or two of data of seniors who applied to the county with the new higher limits, got the exemption, right? So we asked the county to give us that information. So far, they've stonewalled us. We're going to try and break the ice to get that data. The next time this board can act on this matter, it needs to act by the end of December for the tax bills for next year. It's a once-a-year kind of thing that you can make this resolution. So what we're going to do now is we're going to foil the county or try through some connections to see if we can get the data from the county. But one way or another, we'll get the data from the county. Then there'll be a public hearing. Okay? A public hearing is required if there's any changes in tax exemptions. So then there'll be a public hearing. And we'll be able to tell you how much your tax bill, an estimate of how much your tax bill is going to go up for a senior. I'm pretty close to being a senior, so count me as a senior. For a senior's bill to be saved, for others to pay more. Then the board will get feedback from the community. Does everybody say, I love my seniors, I'm willing to pay more, or not? And then the board can take an action after that.
So how has this been communicated to the community in the past and currently? Again, my question started with, I've been at board meetings for several years, sporadically, not continuously at each one. I've received the Elmont Dialogue when my children were in the Elmont District. I've been here. I've been the Elmont Interschool President. I've been the Dutch Broadway PTA President. And I have never heard you all communicate it and or receive something. Maybe I missed it. So my question is, where can I find that? How are you communicating that to the community? How are you telling us what's coming up and how you're making a decision?
The board already took an action 10 years ago, 20 years ago, ages ago, to offer the senior exemption. It's currently being offered, right? So when this matter came to the board, it was, do you want to increase it or not? And the thinking then was, it doesn't make sense for us to do this just yet. Let's wait until we can get some data, which is where we're at.
So if 10 years ago? Is that what you're saying?
Ages ago.
Okay.
The senior exemption's been around for ages, but this
So 10 years ago it was communicated to the community and you never followed up?
No. I think the point
that... So that my I guess you're going to get to my point. My point is, how has this been communicated to us? How is it communicated when you are taking or under consideration for this? That's what I'm asking.
Okay, each time an exemption is authorized, it comes to the board. The board has a public hearing, and the board takes an action. So if you were to go back to the board minutes over the ages and ages and ages, you'd find in there 3, 4, 5 years ago, there was volunteer firemen's one back then. That's just how it works. And this board, you should also know, isn't acting just on the elementary school tax. It's acting on behalf of Sewanaka. It's acting for the Elmont residents,
so,
as well as the library.
So 4 or 5 years ago when it came up during a meeting. That's what you're saying.
No, point of clarification. The senior citizen star exemption was increased last year. And how do
I just want to make sure you guys are understanding my question, because you're going back to the process.
No,
I'm asking, what's the process of it being communicated?
Correct, and I'm trying to get to that point.
Okay.
So the senior citizen star exemption
senior citizen.
Was increased last year at the last moment through budget negotiations in Albany. They basically said you could go ahead and increase it, but it's a local decision. School districts had to act fast to put that in place. And as Mr. Galante is pointing out, this board decided to pause to collect data to see what the impact would be on all taxpayers in the district. The information that we were lacking at that time was how many tax senior citizens hit that threshold of 50,000. It wouldn't be prudent for the school district to say, okay, go ahead and offer the exemption without knowing the total amount of seniors who would be eligible and what the impact would be on the rest of the school community. In addition to that, before the board can enact such a resolution, there would have to be a hearing so that the community could come out and speak to the issue as to whether or not we should go ahead and enact that additional senior citizen exemption. I think I said that right.
Yep.
So you still,
right.
When you take an action or you don't take an action, you still are addressing it. Whether you put it off to the side, you address it right there, or you eat it, you throw it away, you're addressing it. So my question is, again, when you are addressing these issues, or when these issues have come up, how do you communicate it? So now I heard a couple of years ago it was communicated through a board meeting. Is that the only way that this is going to be communicated? Or has been communicated? When you address it, don't address it, put it on the side, or not? That's my question.
Excuse me, Ms. Lewis. I think that they're trying to say that that's the reason for a public hearing. so that the community can be informed about what is available and have input in it. Am I saying that correctly?
Again, okay. So the thing is that that's the reason for public hearing.
Yes.
But you did not know this when the lady came up here in December? Because you said you would look into it and then follow back up with it.
No, I didn't.
Okay. But you were here last year, and you've been here for 2 or 3 years.
Wait a second. I think you're missing a point, though.
No, I don't think you're answering
my question. You're missing a point.
I want to send it over. I send it back because right now, at the end of the day, I've sent this for 2 months now. So I've asked
and
the question.
I've
you guys
it
have answered
the third
it.
Time now.
You have answered it. So, I mean, I'm not missing the point. You said you tabled it and you're going to have another meeting or a public hearing. So when to address the issue, when and if you get the information with your FOIA.
I don't think that we said that we were going to have a special meeting about it,
though. I didn't say you did. You said you were going to look into it.
We did.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Thank you.
Okay. So my next question was, Trustee Jaime was seen at a current My Brother's Keeper event, which occurred in, I put this February, but was in February. Was he there as a representative of the district? Did he turnkey the information? Was his participation funded by our district? And did he take another one of our buses? If Trustee Jaime did not go in the capacity of the representative of the district, like last year, how was Elmont represented at this event?
Elmont wasn't represented by anybody on this board. Mr. Jaime went as a private citizen. And he didn't take any of our buses.
That's good to hear. I have a question on this, and I'm not quite sure what it is, and I just wanted to ask clarification. The extended school year program, what is that?
The extended school year program are for our special education students who in their IEPs have not a 10-month program but a 12-month program. It's an extended school year program that is offered every year to our special education students.
Okay. And that's the name of the program, the extended school year program?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Tricia Wong again. I'm going back to the school law 38 edition. I asked the question, was this the latest edition? Are we sure?
39th edition is the latest edition.
So you do know that laws change. There are case laws, updated case laws. So we have an attorney on the board. And we have other members of the board. And I asked you, and there was a specific reason why I asked, and you said, no, this is the latest edition. It is not. You read something from an outdated edition. Every day, laws change. Are we sure that is the current law?
This is the current law.
Okay. Just like you were sure the first time when you told me 38 was the
latest. I corrected myself. Thank you, Ms. Wong.
Okay. Okay. So let me just explain. I asked you twice. You said it was the latest edition. Now you're telling me that is... Can you please repeat what it states, please? So we can make sure that's on record.
And I just want to say this, Ms. Wong. I am not commenting on this legal matter, so I'm not weighing in as to what is correct or incorrect. This is President Garlick's decision.
So you're taking yourself as the attorney on.
I am taking myself out of this portion of the conversation. I want to be clear about that.
That's very wise. Thank you.
Okay, under the advisement of the attorney, I'm not going to reread what I've read earlier, but this is the law.
It is the law.
Yes.
When it comes to the 38th edition, correct?
Yes.
Okay, not the 39th, which is the latest.
I have the 38th edition in front of me, Ms.
Okay, so
that's
does the school have... One of the things, and being an educator myself, we have to update ourselves. We have to go to workshops, know the latest case laws, know the new every New York State initiative and policies that is enacted. We have to know it. So is that the same for the school board?
That's why we have an attorney And
but the attorney sat there and let you say that, and you read from it.
It is the law. It may be on a different page, but it's the law.
And nothing has changed? Because you do
I have
know,
spoken to someone from NISBA. That is the law.
Okay. And can you state the name of the person you've spoken to? Because there are plenty of representatives in NISBA.
No.
Okay. So I'm just going to go back to a current law. We have affirmative action that has been reversed. If we talked about that 2 years ago, we would have said it is the law. If you don't know it, some people might think it's still the law. It is not the law because it has been reversed. So how do I know that there hasn't been other case laws that does have a public hearing for the removal of a board member? You just read one piece. How do we know there isn't a current one when you're not reading from the latest edition?
You can go get the latest edition.
But that's not my job.
But if you want to clarify, that's what you could do.
Okay, how is it that this is the board, you're supposed to have the latest law, you have an attorney that we're paying a ton of money for, and you didn't do your homework? That's the problem that I have, is that you didn't do your homework. You came with an outdated school law book, and then you read from it, and when I asked you the question, you said it is the latest edition, which you are incorrect. Now, my next question has to do with the senior citizen exemption. Dr. Card, I know you just came on board, and you're trying to clean up a lot of things. However, wouldn't it be prudent, and maybe this isn't for you, Dr. Card, for all of the previous board members and our President Garlick, that you sent a letter out, some communication to all of the residents, the taxpayers of our community, stating this is the new law from New York State, this is what we intend to do, or in action, what we are not intending to do as a district, and this is how it will affect you. This wouldn't have been brought up had it not been for the lady that spoke two meetings ago. In addition to that, we're not living in a stone age. It could have been done digitally. If you want to find out, you didn't have to wait on Nassau County to find out about income. It could have been a quick survey that you ask the community and you get that feedback. You could have done a Google form and sent it out to the community, and you would have got immediate responses. You may not have gotten all 35,000 residents. I don't know if every single one of them are taxpayers, but you would have gotten a large amount, and you could have taken the data from there to gauge whether we are going to vote to increase or not. Instead of having an inaction, we're not living in the Stone Age. So it goes back to, one, the school law given an outdated edition, and two, not knowing, you know, that you guys voted on this. You voted on whether you're not going to raise the income limit so that the senior citizen can receive that exemption. And when you were asked, you didn't know about it. This is something you voted on, so you should know.
Who said that we voted on, did we? We didn't vote on anything. We didn't vote on this.
So you didn't do anything at all?
Would you like a few?
Did you discuss
Let me give you, you're a very intelligent person. Let me just give you a couple quick facts, right? The board approved a senior citizen exemption.
Okay.
Hold
on. So if you approve something, do you vote on it to be approved?
Let me give you facts, then ask any question you'd like, okay? At some point in time, we have not researched it, but we know that this board, the Board of Education, approved the senior citizen exemption at some time in the past, okay, because it shows up on an exemption list and seniors get the exemption, okay? About a year and a half ago, the state said, for those districts that have granted the exemption, you have a choice of making the exemption more people eligible for it. Okay? And if you want, you can pass a resolution. I ran the numbers with my best estimates. It was about $80 that every single person's tax bill would increase to save the seniors additional funds. At that point, I also had to tell the board, I think it's going to be about 80, but that's the best guess. I have no idea how many people are going to be eligible. Could be double that. Could be every bill is going up 160. It could be 40. We don't have the data. And we can't go ask people on Google Forms or otherwise, what's your income and age? Will you please tell us? We're the government. Please tell us your income and your age. That's not good to do, you know? So the thinking was, let's just wait. The county implemented it. That data will get generated for us at the county. Then we'll go get that data. Then I can better estimate.
How did the county get that data?
It might be $10. I don't know. We don't know. It could be a $10 impact only. And then I think everybody would say, let's go do it, you know? But it could be $200.
So my question is, how did the county get that data?
By implementing it. People have to apply. They fill out a form. They provide tax returns. They provide documentation as to their age and their income to then apply for it. Okay?
So my question goes back to, wouldn't it have been prudent just to send some type of communication out to the resident to say, this is the new law by New York State, and this is how you may or may not be affected? Do you understand? A proactive board, wouldn't it have been... Okay. We're talking about the board. I'm not talking about the county, because it, at the end of the day, it comes from here. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am not talking about it, the county. At the end of the day, isn't the decision or lack thereof still up to this board?
The decision was to wait, and that it would be prudent to get information once it's been collected through an exemption process with the county to then make an assessment after that, which is where we're at.
That was the decision.
Well, it was a decision. The thing that, okay.
Hold up one second. Can
Go
we
ahead,
try
doctor.
A new approach here? Because we hear you.
Right.
We hear you.
Thank you,
and
Dr.
we
Carter.
Are going to take in everything that you've said so that we could refine our processes and procedures so that we could get it right the next time. And so that's where we're at right now. We hear you. Actually, we do. And we're going to work it out. We're having conversations. We've developed a timeline for when we need to have this discussion, when we need to have a hearing. I won't be here, but we will have a hearing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Dr.
Did I say
Clark,
that out loud?
Thank you.
No. We are going to do that. So we hear you, and we understand that maybe along the line we need to be a little bit more transparent. We need to make sure that we're on our communication
Thank
game,
you, Dr.
and we
Carr.
Will do that, okay?
Thank you.
All
From
right.
one educator to the next, that's what I wanted to
Thank
hear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Williams. The lady of the hour. Everyone's been talking about Miss Venetia Williams, and here she is.
My question is, well, let me first address the Madam President. In the February meeting, when I first brought this up, you told me very, very loudly and clearly that you'll get back to me. I'm still waiting to hear from you. I'm still waiting to hear from any member of this board as to what your intentions are. Now, from the discussions here, Mr. Gallant, I think I heard you said that you will take some action in December. Be advised that the first part, and I'm sure you know this, the first part of the tax year for 24-25 must be paid in October. So I don't understand your point in saying that you're going to try to decide about something, some action in December, when you must have already made some decision to determine what our tax is going to be for October.
it's a good question. The way the county works, or maybe it's probably the state in the end, but the county has to be notified by, it's roughly January 2nd, January 3rd, roughly, of each year on any exemption resolutions prior to January 2nd, 3rd, for the tax bills for the following fall. It takes them that long to kind of go through and then do all their
work. So in other words, we seniors in the Elmont School District should be looking forward again to another unreasonable increase in our school tax. When, from what I've heard here tonight, there's a lot of waste. There's a lot of uncertainties about why certain positions are necessary. It seems to me that you're hiring people that with overlapping responsibilities, that essentially you could have one person doing that. And there's no transparency, because let me inform everyone, receiver of taxes in this town, in Nassau County, I should say, had no idea about your actions. This was completely, this information was completely unavailable to them. And this includes Mr. Clavin. He had no idea. So when I brought it up at one of the meetings that she had in Garden City, she was very surprised. You know, so you're saying that it's, you know, it's known by everyone, and you're going to take some action. I don't know that. I'm not really sure what action you plan to take, and this is what concerns me, because unfortunately, I don't know the other seniors in this town that is will be affected, and I certainly would like to gather them to speak more effectively on this issue, because it's no small thing. Your answer?
What's the question?
My question is, what will be happening for this October bill? Because apparently you have already made a decision.
Yeah, for this fall, senior citizens will continue to get the exemptions that this board authorized years ago, without it being updated for higher income levels, which they will be considering once we get the data from the county, then do a public hearing, then they can take an action one way or another, which will affect the 24-25 taxes. There is nothing that this board can do about taxes for this coming fall.
So let me see if I understand this. You made a decision that affected the October 2023, and this payment that will be coming up in May. And you're saying that decision is also going to spill over into the 24-25 billing?
Yeah, the way it works with the county, you got to make a decision by January for the tax bills for the coming fall through spring.
So, in other words, even though this was addressed, you went ahead and you increased the taxes anyway. In January.
No, the tax exemptions are still in place right now for seniors, as they always have been. There was not an action taken a little over a year ago to increase the eligibility thresholds. Follow me?
Let me just use a term here. It seems to me that you are basically the... you're basically the decider of what happens.
No, I don't make any of these decisions.
Because you're the only one that seems to be addressing this.
Well, I'm the guy that runs the numbers to advise the board on the impact. But then the board would make the decision after holding a public hearing and getting input from seniors and non-seniors and all residents who attend.
Again, without notifying, as Mrs. Wong said, without notifying the residents. Again.
A notification would go out.
This was addressed last, I'm assure you that this was addressed in last October and November, because I distinctly spoke to the receiver of taxes, Ms. Driscoll, back in November, and she heard nothing at all about this. And she, you know, she said she would, I guess, get more information and, get back to, I guess, get in touch with the school boards, because this is not the only school board that was affected. There are a few of them, not all school boards in Nassau County.
Yeah, so each school board needs to make its own decision on expanding exemptions on behalf of each local school. It's not mandated by the state.
Obviously. But my question, you're still not answering my question, because, again, if this is something that you decided in January, this had to have been addressed. I spoke to her. This was something that was known back in November.
Well, as I said, about a year and a half ago, the board had to make a decision. Do they want to consider increasing the exemption for seniors, expanding it, holding a public hearing, then based on the results of the hearing, vote on whether they want to expand it? And the thinking was, let's not even consider it yet, because we need to get the information so that when the public asks, how much will it cost me, we can tell them, which is where we're at now, because there's been about a year and a half of seniors filling out applications, sending it to the county, and then the county has granted them. Thank you, county, right? Because now I can look, if I get the data from the county can tell me there are 642 people in Elmont that are eligible for the exemption, and here's how much money it is, that exemption, the shift in taxes. And I can look at our list and see, oh, it's 242 right now. So I'll know there's 405 additional people that will become eligible. So when the public asks at the hearing, we can say it's 400. I'm just giving it, approximates, but we can tell the public there's 405 additional seniors that will be eligible. Their homes will have the numbers. The assessed values are this. So here's how much will be exempted, so that we can tell each other person in the room, here's how much your taxes will go up to save the average senior X amount of taxes. And hopefully it's $2. Hopefully there's, it's not that big of a deal, but the preliminary look at it was about $80, but it could
be
160, it could be 20. We really don't know without the data.
You seem to be making light of this, and this is very, very egregious.
We're taking this very seriously. Yeah. That's why it was collected data.
You're talking about it going up $2.
I don't know what it will be.
I know. This is just a...
I'm saying hopefully it's $2. Yeah. No, hopefully it's a $2 cost for everybody else in the room is what I was saying. Hopefully you save $3,000 and everybody else only pays a buck or two. Then I could see people all agreeing to it,
Yes, Smith, yes, sure.
You follow me?
So I just want to make the point, because you're talking process, she's talking pain, right? In 2022, this board was sent a letter by Mr. Blakeman saying what you discussed, right?
Right.
So in January of 2023, you're saying that there's somebody, because we're not saying the board right now, made a decision to let's wait on the data.
Correct.
We then had January of 2024.
It was November or December 22, roughly.
Of 22.
Yes.
So this board received a letter saying that, hey, these are going to be the changes in the assessed values.
No.
Okay.
We got a letter saying.
You got a letter saying that if you want to opt into this change, you have to make a decision by January
22nd
of 2023.
Correct.
And a decision by someone, I'm going to say it was you because I don't remember there being a public hearing about this. So somebody made a decision to wait. We're going to sit on it, which caused pain to the elders of the community. But in January of 2024, we should have had that data in. So in January of 2024, what was the decision moving forward? Because it sounds like we're still sitting on our hands.
No, that data wouldn't be there because the county implemented it on that January of 2023, right?
Correct.
So then what happened from there, once they said we're going all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
People started submitting applications throughout 2023.
Correct.
Okay. So by fall of 2023 tax bills, you start to have the data. So now, right now, at this moment in time, right, we would be able to see 1 year of data only right now, 23-24 assessment impacts. And the, quote, exemption impact statement, there's an actual form that the county sends out that lists all the exemptions. There's loads of them. The school district is actually exempt as a nonprofit. We're on the list, okay?
Right.
Cemeteries, it has all kinds of different exemptions, right?
Right.
That comes out right now, this time of year, every year, once a year. So the timing of this is data collected by people, seniors, putting in for the county exemption up through this fall for the current exemptions into this spring where we're at now, right? So we're in a place now where we have 1 year of data.
Okay, so because I do want to kind of get back to what Dr. Card said and acknowledging that, hey, what has been done has been done, and we have to move forward. But ultimately the question is, going back to what Ms. Lewis said, is one, I don't recall there being a board meeting or special meeting to discuss this issue. So ultimately, who made the decision to sit on their hands for data? And it might have been a good decision, or maybe not, but ultimately, who makes a decision? And it sounds like you're making that decision for the board, and I'm not sure that that's the proper process, because we didn't know about it. And again, going back to Ms. Lewis's question, is that now that we know coming into January of 2025, right, how is it going to be communicated to the public that we have this body of data that we're now going to make a decision whether to raise that threshold to, I think it was 53,000.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Palmer, I think I can answer that because we are working on setting up
right.
A public hearing.
Be this fall.
For October 2024.
Yeah,
and we have discussed that, and then the community will get its turn to have its community input at that time.
And up until that point, then it's just the pain that the elders are feeling. They're just going to continue to feel it up until that transition changes in 2025, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Correct.
Just wanted
correct.
To get that on right.
Correct.
Good evening. Simone Swaby here. I just want to thank and congratulate the district. Principals, teachers, whoever had a hand in the all-district band and the all-district jazz ensemble, the concert that took place last week at Gotham Avenue School.
Yeah, heard about
shout out to Mr. Mingo, Mr. Pino. It was excellent. So money well spent on musical endeavors in the district. I commend that you please continue with that. So we do have, you know, good feedback sometimes.
Thank you.
President Garlick, I did send an email on March 29th. And when I come to these meetings, I have three kids. I am taking valuable time away from them. Even though I know I do have a commitment to show up at these meetings, I am expecting to get answers to my questions. But my email from March 29th Should my expectation be that when I come to these meetings, my correspondence and the correspondence of other community members will be addressed? Because it seems to be a common theme that I show up here and my correspondence is not noted when it comes to... I'm not very familiar. I don't understand necessarily Robert Rules of Law as it relates to, you know, conducting meetings, but I do have that expectation that my questions will be answered. So are there any answers at the ready for my questions?
My memory, what was some of the questions?
This concerns the business office.
Right.
And how it conducts the district's business.
The only one I recall related to your input regarding the superintendent, that was another one, correct?
Yes.
Could you do us a favor, Ms. Garlick, and I will go back and look at that email and respond to you with those questions? Because I think I have an idea what some of the questions are that you asked.
Right.
I have a vague recollection. We'll go ahead and take care of that and get back to you before Friday.
Exactly. But particularly, I want some answers around the obligations of the business office as it relates to, based on my understanding and my and feedback from other people that I know in other districts, the business office is typically overseeing the facilities, transportation, and food service departments, and I'd like to understand whether or not that is so here. So if you could relate to, if you could review my email and get me some answers, I'd really appreciate that.
We'll get back to you before close of business on Friday.
Thank you.
Hopefully Thursday.
That shows on the org chart, too, that's on the web in the policy book.
John Smith. I haven't heard anything on the budget. What's happening with it? Normally, by this time, we're at least hitting some numbers, some percentages. How much is this going to cost the taxpayers? Are we with a zero budget? We could only hope, but... Yeah.
But we've got it. Original plans
would be, it would be on the agenda for this meeting.
Correct.
But like last year, because the state is late in adopting a budget, figured it was prudent to wait until we hopefully hear from them. They just did an extender, but then I just heard that the education funding today was possibly wrapped up. So the board already has a meeting scheduled for next week, Tuesday, for the BOCES budget vote that they have to do each year, BOCES budget and BOCES board members. So we're going to piggyback that into the meeting next week, Tuesday. For anybody who'd like to, you know, get a presentation and information, it'll be that Tuesday.
That's at Elmont Road?
I think so, yep.
What time?
Ooh, good question. Hold on.
Is that 7?
All my questions are good.
I think it might be 7. No,
it's 6:30. Yeah. It's 6:30.
6:30?
Yes.
So that's 6:30 on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
That's okay. Do we have an idea?
Yeah, we have an
of
idea.
How much money we're getting from the state?
Could you wait, you Mr. Galante?
Let us know?
We don't know. We do not know at this point.
I mean, because, you know, we're running out of time. We have to vote. And you're going to spring this on the taxpayers, and it has to be mailed out to the taxpayers so they can see what you want them to pass. And,
I think the key elements that we presented last month, all still hold. What we're experiencing is large increases in mandated costs, like every district. Medical insurance rates.
That's throughout the whole Long Island.
Yeah. Okay. Pension, too. We're all part of the same pension plan, the state pension plans. One thing that's also impacting a lot of school districts, which we highlighted in that
presentation last month on budget is special education costs. Twofold. One is large increases in enrollment, which appears to be a countywide, I don't know if it's Long Island-wide trend, statewide, of children needing more services. We've actually got some a bar chart with the count. We had that last month in the presentation. Mm-hmm. This is the data as of then, where there's just a lot more kids coming into the program needing the services, but then also because of what's going on in the economy and the industries for healthcare and you name it, for speech and so forth, those costs going up as well, not just the incremental cost, the unit cost. We've got federal grants expiring, and the positions for instructional coaches and guidance counselors have been with the district 3 years now. They see the impact of it and how important it is for the post-COVID era, at least the kids that are still in the schools. So the point is we have a lot of interest, we have a lot of things coming at us. And that was a big reason for the presentation last month, was mm-hmm. to give folks a heads up. We have a challenge ahead of us here. Our ballpark right now is if the state doesn't cut, we don't know if it could go up or down, right, when they adopt. The last we heard, because the governor proposed getting rid of Hold Harmless, which had a bunch of districts that were going to lose state aid next year versus the year that we're in. Uncommon. Usually it's always just stay even or you go up. But like half the districts in the state were losing state aid. So the work, what we heard today, Dr. Card heard today, was it sounds like that a deal has been broke to not cut any school districts. So we don't know if that means if they didn't, and we weren't one of the ones getting cut. So we don't know if it's like, oh, they're not cutting them, but does it hurt us now? Right. Are we going to get less, So once we know that, I can tell you that there's going to be a tax increase at some level unless there's a miracle, okay? We've experienced in the past 3 years, not at least the last two, miracle levels of increased state aid. It's been really solid. When I say that, it's like normally in a given year, the best we would normally do is a million extra, and we're talking 3 or 4 million. Those days appear to be over.
Right.
So, and a lot of that was probably federal aid flowing into the state that the state was then finding ways. So we'll have it in detail. The board's got drafts. We're actually working on special ed again this week. And we're going to go through it all next week for adoption.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Madam President, my name is Sue Chen. I'm with the Urban League of Long Island. I'm here to kind of give you guys support of what you need, and especially with the community and the seniors. Again, the Urban League, we're with all of Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk County. But we can't help you if we don't know what you need. So definitely reach out to us. Again, it's the Urban League of Long Island. We're based down in Plainview, but we're all over Long Island. So whatever you need, especially if they're cutting programs and they're cutting things with the school district, definitely let us know, because then we can advocate for you to get you the money that you need. Can you give your information to Ms. Delahanty? I'll give you guys cards. Okay? Thank you. Okay.
And a blank check.
That's good.
So my new questions for tonight was regarding the budget meeting. We've talked a lot the last couple of meetings about monies and grants, and I haven't heard, even in that last presentation, of any new programs for our kids. We're getting this money. We're getting some type of money. There has been no discussion, no presentation about what is going to be added on to other programs for our kids. The budget vote is fast approaching, like Mr. Smith said, and I know typically we do get that presentation with more details, and again, you just finished addressing that. But I would like to know, at this point, do you have new programs that you're about to fund for the new fiscal year for our kids? And then my next question, well, I don't know, am I going to just stop and pause? You want to think? So my next question is not about the budget meeting, about the budget and the new programs for the kids.
Okay, as Mr. Galante just pointed out, that we are now at that fiscal cliff. Mm-hmm. Where adding programs would be challenging for us because what we see is escalating costs as it relates to special education services. One of the things that we all have to remember is that we are in the post-pandemic period, and those students who stayed at home, those students who experienced trauma, those students who experienced significant learning loss are now beginning to pop. So we're finding that we're doing more risk assessments for students who need to be hospitalized. But here's the challenge. There's no place to send them. And so we are increasing services for those students who are in need of hospitalization, who are in need of specialized services to help them to catch up. So what we're doing is we will present a budget that maintains current programs and ensures that we are able to continue to address the specific needs of our learners in the district so that they do not fall further behind. One of the things that our budget does this year, it maintains our guidance counselors that we added in the post-pandemic period. Guidance counselors are part of the pupil personnel team to ensure that we're supporting kids socially and emotionally, as well as our instructional coaches to ensure that our teachers are being supported at the classroom level to implement any new programs that we have to support learning loss. So those are the things that we have in place that we must maintain. And of course, this year has been challenging for us, as Mr. Galante pointed out. We've seen increased costs in terms of ERS, TRS, and medical costs, so we're really squeezing as much as we can out of our budget.
So there'll be no new programs as of right now? Anything new, different that we could bring to the kids, that's
right.
What I'm talking about.
I think right now as a district, we are providing excellence in education. We have a superior robotics team. As a matter of fact, we had students from Stewart Manor who participated 2 weeks ago who came in first place. We have robotics clubs at each one of our buildings. At Clara Carlson, the principal has instituted an after-school learning program for those students who we need to catch early to ensure that they remain engaged. So when you talk about new programs, we are doing things to keep kids actively engaged in the educational space to ensure that we don't lose them. Remember, some of our kids were out of school for a significant period of time. Those kids are currently our fifth and sixth graders.
Right, but remember, you know, we are here for all our children. It's just, so whenever we can, we should be squeezing whatever those positions we don't need and any grant money that's coming in or coming out.
Right.
And instead of doing super all this super great stuff, we invest it in our kids.
Right.
And it's all our kids we want it to be invested in.
I
see you get that, and I'm great, and I hope in the budget presentation that comes out. Because when you're asking for additional money, you're asking the community to give additional money for all this other stuff, we need to also put out money. If I'm going to put out a dollar, let me put out two so that all my kids in the community are just as, if not better, than and can compete in this world.
Very
so
good.
I don't think we have a problem with that, but when you finish analyzing the dollars, hopefully you'll find something to squeeze out for additional programs. I do want to say that I would have liked to see some more principal involvement in identifying some of these programs, bringing it up to the front so that if you can't fund it now, we have something that we're working towards. Because if you're going to be getting some type of money back from some of these grants and throughout the year, let's earmark that for the programs that the principals and the staff say we need in our kids. That's what I would like to say.
Could I say something really quick before
sure.
you move on? Right here at Alden Terrace, Mrs. Warfield put on a fabulous program the other day. She always does. But when you talk about programs, those are some of the programs that our principals and their assistant principals are implementing in our schools. I don't know if you know it, but here in this building, when you get a chance, please contact Mrs. Warfield to visit her sensory room.
Yes.
Could we talk about the sensory
amazing
room?
Amazing room.
So there's a lot going on here in our district
Absolutely.
To meet the needs of kids. And by the way, At our last board meeting, I did a presentation on all the K-2 programs that we put in place. At our budget input meeting, we talked about RAS kids, making sure that parents have access to those tools at home.
Absolutely, I was there.
So we are a district that is rich in support for all of our kids, because excellence means excellence for all
Absolutely.
Here in Elmont.
And that's why we need to make sure that if there's money there, we're going to earmark it for continuing
yes, ma'am.
Excellence. So I have no problems
you
with
got
that.
It.
I have two other comments, and then I will sit down. The community input on updating and revising policies, I'll be sending a question. In your current policy, it says that this is a process that goes through your council. I think there are other communities in Nassau community, our next-door neighbors in Valley Stream, that have parents and community members that have input on the policies that the board is governed by, and I think that should be addressed by this board, and I will... And students, that should be addressed. My last comment and question was, I did hear the mention of what's the process going to happen for Michael Jaime. I just want to understand, seeing that there is we're not talking about a personnel issue, a potential inquiry on a process, does that mean that Trustee Michael Jaime is not allowed to be a part of the meetings and or vote on the meetings if there is a possibility, because you're looking into it, for him to be removed or the process of a removal of any trustee? So I'm just, my question again is to clarify whether or not Trustee Jaime would be involved with decisions with the board while it appears to be that he might be under consideration for removal.
We will be talking about that with NISBA.
Whether he can
yes.
vote on the thing. So until you have the discussion, I guess he will be able to
so. He can vote, yes.
Okay.
Sheldon Meikle, good evening.
Good evening.
Don't everybody's countenance change at the same time. I'll try to be positive here. But I have questions. This is the common theme, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm a director of operations, and operationally, we're asking you time and time again to please respond to our questions. We'll save a lot of community members and your time if questions were responded to from previous. There's always a section that says old business. That should never go unaddressed. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed. Community questions, these are very valid questions. That's been asked since February. We're now in April. March 21st, you had a special meeting. I noticed they took a... Normally, it says open, close, whatever. But it was specific that there were two trustees, Battle and Ramos, and it says that they walked out. What does that mean? What does it mean? And by the way, before you answer that question, I'll give you time to think about it. I just want to thank Mr. DiBartolo. We've been asking for years, because you know I come to every meeting, for live streaming, and last I checked, we had 75 community members watching. So people can watch from the comfort of their homes and see the atrocity that's going on with this board and the division. You could just look at this panel and see the division. We have the North versus the South. Okay? So anyway, let me get back to my question. Why was it indicated during that special meeting that two trustees walked out? What does that mean? Does that mean they just left for the evening? Or was there an issue why they walked out during that meeting?
It was closed. It was a closed meeting.
There was a motion placed to terminate the meeting, and you guys all agreed that they could leave. Because they made it a point that two trustees, not everyone, I've never seen that on one of these reports, saying that specific trustees walked out of the room.
Mr. Meikle, quite often during...
I'm sorry, Mr. Alhani was... Thank you for clarifying. So then if there's two people not present during what you said was not during the vote, that's why they were kind of singled out while they walked out. So they didn't vote. And that's the other pattern that we're seeing, that there's certain trustees that are either abstaining or not voting. So this board is very divided, and that's why the community is very concerned when we have a board representing our community and our children that's divided. So that's where we're going to continue to show up until we figure out how to fix that problem and make sure you guys are all on the same page. My next question. I noticed, you know, on tonight's agenda, number seven, because any time I hear an abstention, it just sticks out of my mind. I'm going to say, why is this being abstained? Number seven, district technology, page 14. You were voting on whether the superintendent recommends the employment of the following technology assistant, and it says Christian Jaime and Nicole Termimi. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So you're voting on whether these two people should do the live streaming? Is that what that is? What is the position that they're being voted? What are you voting on? $35 an hour. What are you paying them for?
Summer school.
This is for the summer, not for the live streaming.
No.
Because I noticed in the back of the room, Mr. Jaime is here doing the live streaming. So I'm a little confused. Is he an employee of the district? So he is that a personal matter? I'm sorry.
It's a personal matter.
That's a personal matter. Okay. But the community is listening. Mr. Jaime, once again, is in the minutes, is being hired at $35 an hour to be a district technology. It's my understanding he's already an employee. He also does the Board of Elections. I saw him sitting behind the table collecting votes. And he is the son of a sitting trustee. There's a nepotism issue there, but I digress. And he's sitting there recording it right now. But I digress. Next question. There was a special meeting on April 1, and it's very vague. What was that special meeting? It says April 1, Board of Education special meeting. Doesn't even say what it was about, other than it was located at Vaughn, Schoenk, and King, located at 1010 Franklin Avenue. Why is there no mention? What was the vote? What was the reason you guys met? Is that a personnel matter?
Mr. Meekle, we are in the process of doing a superintendent search, and therefore we will have meetings outside of our schools at certain times in order to continue that search.
Thank you for your response. So all I'm asking for is if you guys are going to put out a notice or minutes and you have us look at it, just mention that because it seems very elusive, and we're watching the board very closely because we have no the community at large does not trust this board. So we're watching everything. So we're asking for full transparency. Again, we ask questions. There's no reason why on that page it should be so elusive that you guys met at a law office or whatever that is, or you met somewhere, and there's no mention of why you met. Why did you meet? What is this all about? So, again, I digress. Next question. March 13, you had a special meeting. Media versus the Elmont Union Free School District. Is that a personal matter, or can you please enlighten us as to why you met regarding a legal issue, media versus Elmont? And again, very vague. What was that meeting about? Can you please explain that, or can you please share that with the community, or is it a personal matter? I'll respect it if it is. I'll try to be as quick as possible. Oh. I'm putting my operations hat on now. I'm not taking it personal. Can you please answer that question?
I assume it's a litigation.
Which, March 13th?
You guys met. March 13, media versus Elmont Union Free School District. What was
one
that meeting
second,
about?
Mr.
Oh, sorry.
Which one was that?
I'm sorry. We were trying to recall what happened on March 13th. So that was a personnel issue in which the board met to vote on an agreement regarding a particular employee.
So it was a personnel matter that you can't share with the community?
That's right. It was a personnel, understood. And they sought legal advice for it, yes.
Okay. Understood. I respect that. Okay. A lot of meetings that you can't share what's going on. Okay, I get it. Personnel matter. Page 20 of tonight's agenda, number 4A, references backup pages to the left. I'll give you a minute to get to it.
Under superintendent?
Yes, superintendent report.
And you said page 20?
Report of the super number 9. It says 4A. It says budgetary transfers over $5,000. And I'm sure it's not a big issue. But request authorization to make budgetary transfers over $5,000 per backup pages to the right. Now, is that referencing the pages? Is that the backup pages on page 21? Is that what it's referencing, the $5,000? Maybe Galanti? Mr. Galanti? Someone? I'm not sure.
You're on 9C4A, right? Budget transfers?
Yes.
Over
page 24A. It says references backup pages to the right. Is that page 21?
Yeah, and then the board gets, as you would know, there's a backup section, which is not easy to see, page 41. So then the board has a list of the transfers.
Okay, so that's not shared with the public.
I don't know what the... what.
Oh, it is. Okay. It's backup. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because that question came up. Again, it's being live streamed. I'm getting texts. People ask, want me to ask questions. So they're just wondering why that's in there, and it's referencing something that we can't see. But that's fine. I understand. It was a... gotcha. I think you answered this question already, but I'll just ask real quick, short. The meeting with NISBA, did that occur already? Or are you scheduling that regarding what's going on with Mr. Jaime?
We are scheduling it.
Still being scheduled. Do you have a schedule as yet? You don't have a schedule as yet. Are you seeking outside counsel or just NISBA? A NISBA representative.
A NISBA representative.
And a NISBA representative.
Will be coming to speak with the board.
And again, operational.
He is an attorney, yes.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Operationally, you want to make sure somebody has a legal background.
Thank you.
Have the most updated books, whatever you're working
Thank
on right
you.
Now, that it's not dated.
Thank you.
Also, another operational matter. If you're going to have hourly employees working at our board meetings, because you know it's running a little late these days, you might want to delegate that to someone that's a salaried employee so that we're not paying somebody, and I don't know how much you're paying them, $35 an hour to work a machine, and then we have our director here sitting on the sideline. So just a suggestion. And no disrespect, but like I said, I have my operational hat on. I'm not getting personal here. If I was running a business, I shouldn't be paying two people to do the same job. Again, I digress. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Meikle, I would like to... I would like to clarify. So the meeting of March 21st,
yep.
There was an appointment, civil service appointment, that I was there for the vote. It was also a presentation, and I had a hard stop at 7:30. I didn't get up and leave. I didn't just walk out. Everyone knew prior to that that I had to. I had a hard stop at 7:30. So I didn't, it was no contention. I didn't just walk out the meeting.
Okay, but
everyone knew. It was, the presentation was pretty much over and I left.
So you guys walked out. Good terms. Gotcha. Oh, I'm sorry. One last question was the superintendent search. That definitely should be old business. What? How are we doing with the superintendent search? And also, I did send this question this morning. I might have gotten it late, but I sent it this morning asking if the board can please address an update on the superintendent search, and also if the community can get involved, because again, we don't have the confidence that you guys are going to come together and get the right candidate, and you have a history of planting people. So we want to make sure that our next superintendent is someone that we agree to. So we're asking as a community, I'm asking also because I want to be present, that we can get involved with this superintendent search, your top three or four, whatever you up to now, if you can have some members or even our children ask, do a little Q&A, have a little session so that the future superintendent, we can all agree on that this person was somebody that the community and the board worked together to make sure we have the best quality superintendent for our school district and not a plant. Thank you.
Good evening, Lynette Battle. I just wanted to, by this time last year, there was a list of employment opportunities, and they were in the minutes, things of that nature. I noticed they're not there now. The reason I'm asking is because I had promised parents, and we had agreed to this year, informing of the open opportunity. So I'm just coming to follow up to see where we are with that. It's April. I'm a little concerned.
I think I had responded to that a couple of board meetings ago. I said that as we get closer to the summer, that's when our facilities department will have an estimate of how many individuals they actually need. Currently, we're in a different place this year because we have significant bond work being done. So timing might change how we advertise for positions in the summer. I didn't forget about the question that you had asked. We will definitely know, hopefully, by mid to the end of May where we'll be. Also, just as an FYI for the entire community, we're bringing on board a new director of facilities on Monday, April 15th. So I will be coordinating with that person.
Okay, thank you. The next question that I have is in regards to Lord, don't get old. That's all I'm going to say. Menopause is evil, and I said it out loud. It is. I just want to ask about, God, I had my question written.
Take your time.
No. All right. So this time last year, we talked about engaging and putting out an RFP for a new law firm. Last year, we got stuck and it wasn't done. And then come July, you had to bring on the law firm for another year. Where are we in the process? Has an RFP been done to scope out for new law firms? Or are you looking to just renew for another year with the law firm currently?
We have not put out an RFP at this point.
Is it in the plans? Because come July 1st or come to the June meeting?
That has to be a board discussion in an executive session. We will be discussing. We'll look into it.
Okay. And the same for the business officer, the consultant for that. Is there an RFP? Will you be doing it?
There is not an RFP at this time, but we as a board we could look into that as well.
Is there, last question, well, maybe not. Is there a rule on the books on how long a company stays on before you do an RFP again, or do you just ride with the same company throughout?
There's not a rule of how long they stay on. If you're speaking about
How often do you open the opportunities for another organization to come in?
It's once a year.
Yeah, it's every year at the board's reorganization meeting, July 1st, 4th, whatever, is when they get a list of all the contractors that they have to decide if they want to renew it or not, or RFP it or what have you.
But the RFP has to be, normally when I RFP out work, it's at least 3 to 6 months out. And we're in April. That's why I'm asking this question. You have May, you have June, and July is right around the corner. So if nothing's started at this time, assume that the ball...
Hold on. You should also know, I mean, that's when they do the annual review, so right? But they can terminate any time. My 30 days, I can terminate, they can terminate. Done. They find somebody else. So they can do it mid-year, too. And most of our contracts are 30-day notice. That's it. Okay. Which is much better than an employee. Then you got perb hearings and all kinds of legal hoops to go through if you want to terminate.
Okay, thank you so much.
One last question. As it relates to transparency around our bids and RFP process, as a follow-up to Ms. Battle, I think that the community has made it clear that where there can be more transparency, that's what we're looking to see effected in our community. I'm on the Valley Stream, and I've been looking at different school district websites, and many of them report their current bids and RFPs right on the district website. Is the school district planning on declaring said data points to the community as it relates to current RFPs and other requests for proposals right on the website? Madam President?
Thank you. You could go ahead.
I can just tell you what the practice has been. There's two different things to explain, right? There's bids. Well, I'm just explaining this. Most people don't understand the difference. There's bids, which are for commodities buying things like this, right, as well as construction projects and so forth, which is all under bids. So there you have a fixed price. You're buying something for a unit or a grand total. Those by law have to be bid. Services, whether it's our accounting services, our legal services, business services, financing services, banking services, you know, I could go on. The board has the discretion to either issue an RFP, a request for proposals, or not, and then get the qualifications of the individual or the company, what their rates are, not to exceed, and so forth.
Quick question on that.
So when proposals are issued, typically...
I don't want to lose my thought.
Not always. Okay, go ahead.
Concerning the flexibility to leverage RFP or not, what goes into making that decision, and how is that influenced?
I think it's probably each board member might have a different way they would think of it. So I can't really answer that because it really is something that would be for the board. But I can tell you, like, when I go out and we're looking for, like, give you an example. We did an RFP process for our independent accounting firm that comes in and does the audit work. We did another one for our internal auditors who come in to do procedural audits, right?
And when that's done, what's the process by which the public is made aware that the El Monte School District has issued this RFP? It's not on the website, so where is that facilitated?
Okay, let me give you the process, right?
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. So when that was decided that we're going to RFP it, and some of those we have to do every 5 years by law, okay? I emailed out to all the business officials on Long Island. It's about 100 and some business officials. Asked them if they'd fill out a form to give me the name of who they use for their independent auditors, their internal auditors, and their claims auditor. Name of firm, contact information, email address. I got back about half of the people spent the time to do that and send it back. We then compiled the list. We sent it to everyone on the list. But I knew that they did other districts. I didn't go out to Joe Blow Accounting Firm to say, hey, give us a proposal, right? So we sent it to a half dozen that we knew already did the work and were in the business. So you have discretion when it comes to RFPs to issue it to people you know in advance to be qualified. For that, we also posted it on the web back then, okay? Not for any other reason other than for those firms to grab the data if they wanted to. So, but every, I have to say, every single one is different. Like when we bid the work for all the capital construction projects, the architect who put together all the bid specifications, and, you know, if it was paper, it would be like this high of drawings and plans and specs. And then they use a web-based service to upload all that in there. And contractors on Long Island who bid on school work go to that website to find all the work that's going on Long Island for schools, grab the specs, do the work, and bid on it. So there isn't one candy-cutter approach. It depends on the service and whether it's a service or if it's a bid. Fair?
Is it then feasible, if appropriate, to house some of these current bids and current RFPs right on the website for the sake of just transparency and clarity?
There aren't that many of them anymore.
Okay.
Just to make it clear, I would say, okay, just to give you a sense of things, right? Total spending for our operating budget is about $100 million. Staff benefits, 80 right there, okay? So that's a big chunk of the district spending. The balance, what's happened over the years is NASA BOCES. We have participated in a cooperative bidding service there. So they bid musical instruments, musical supplies. I get emails every week on various things that they're bidding for all 56 districts who've enrolled. New York State does statewide government bidding, okay, for commodities and services. So we then go to the New York State OGS website, and, oh, we need to buy a bus right there. Here's the prices, bum, bum, bum. It's all on the web, okay? We need to buy a car. We need to buy a bus. We need to buy. So I got to tell you, it's rare. In the old days, I can go back to the old days, we used to issue bids for all this stuff. It was a lot of work. Now you've got, there's also something else. It's all a complete database. EdData is what it's called. And they've already done all this work, too, on bidding and so forth that is connected into our, that we connect into their computer system for basic stuff, paper supplies, things like that. So to be honest with you, the last one, the one that I just mentioned, which was 2 or 3 years ago, I think was the last time, other than the capital construction bids. I mean, I could check, but it's not that often that there's a need to do RFPs or bids because, at least for all the commodities, capital type stuff like that, it's all bought through, you know, contracts that already exist.
Thank you. On a side note, as it relates to the fiscal challenges around, you know, needs that were discussed prior, special ed and other needs that we're seeing out of the pandemic, does the district have a grant writing strategy to help close the gap? Are we applying for grants to kind of help our budget? Or at all?
We get a lot of federal aid and state grant money. I'll get to all components of it in a bit. This year it's going to be, I think it's close to $10 million. But we have stimulus grants that are expiring, which is what's going to be happening with us trying to like make sure we absorb that within the budget because we need that, right? So that's government funding. Government funding, sometimes it's competitive, which is something the district could focus more on. It would take resources. It would take hiring people to give it a shot and see if it's possible, right? So you got overhead involved to do that. But on an ongoing basis, we have a stream of grants. We get IDEA, ESSA, Title I, Title III, Title IV, various federal grant programs. We also get, like, UPK program for the Universal Pre-Kindergarten. The state gives us $1.1 million of the total cost of two. And they doubled the amount of that grant a few years back, which was very helpful. Okay? Now, when it comes to private funding for the district to say, let's go out and find some private foundations, corporations, I used to raise $20 to $30 million a year of private funds. Okay? Who's going to want to give money to Elmont of a substantive amount when taxpayers are really responsible to pay for it? Nonprofit corporations have a much better chance of raising private funds through foundations, individuals. They even make sure their board is wealthy people, and in some bigger organizations, right? You get on the board because you can bring to the organization $1 million, $5 million, $10 million of funds to the organization, okay? So the district could make the attempt to try and get all those funds. I'm not saying they couldn't, but odds are you're lucky if you break even. In an organization that's a nonprofit, given this, we had a staff of 12 people, it's 50% of the cost for that 100%. So in other words, if we raise $2 million, it cost us $1 million, grant writers and people doing that kind of work.
Understood.
The best way to raise money is somebody who has a connection. Somebody here who knows somebody, lived in Elmont, you know, has made it big in whatever that is and has a lot of money. And it could be anybody sitting in this room or whatever or watching on the live stream, right, that says, hey, I know this person or that person. Like, I can think of a time it was Russell Simmons, and then it was like, oh, let's see if we can go get a meeting with that person and see if they would, like, adopt a program, right?
Proprietary.
Yeah.
I worked in Harbor Fields, and Mariah Carey was a former student. And I remember one year she came back and she gave the district $50,000. But, you know, that question is always asked if we can raise money through grant writing. Public schools, as Tom pointed out, is very difficult to do that. And I'm going to use something as a analogy. I was on the Farmingdale State College board, kind of like the Board of Education for the college, for 11 years. And the primary function of a college president is fundraising. And so fundraising in a school district, you have to have a dedicated person who's going to go out and seek those grants. Like, for example, and I know you're aware of this, that at Gotham Avenue, they were able to secure money from Home Depot. Yeah. Because Home Depot, being a part of the community, that's how you go about getting those monies. But guess what? As a school district, you know who we compete with to get money? PTA. Because PTA spends a lot of time knocking on the doors of all of the local businesses to raise money for their endeavors. And so think about the local small business owner. You just had the PTA at the door, and here come the superintendent of schools. Could you give me like another $50? It's challenging. However, I see things come across my desk at times where the state is running competitive grants, and that's when we get involved. One of the things that I did in Huntington over a series of years, I was able to write grants to bring in probably about $2.5 million into the school district, but it was at the height of Common Core, the height of Race to the Top under President Obama and Secretary of Education Arne Duncan. So we were able to use that money to do good for the district. But those things are rare now, where you see those competitive grants coming from the federal government and the state. But we are watchful, you know, for those opportunities when we see private foundations giving away money. That's one of the reasons why it's really important as superintendent of schools, I attend our quadrant meetings. I attend our countywide meetings. I go to the state, because that's where you hear about who's giving away money. One of the things about going to NISCUS, the New York State Council of School Superintendents, is that there's a whole host of vendors there that you could begin to tap into to try to pull money. So my recommendation to the board is, once a new superintendent is seated, you have to encourage people to go beyond the schoolhouse walls, right, to tap into those resources that are available out there. That's how you get those grants.
Thank you. One very last question. Mm-hmm. As it relates to free school lunch or free meals for all in the schools, are we seeing or anticipating any negative impacts around that for our district?
Yes. Right now, we're currently working with the school lunch program, because we have to devise a system for how we're going to know who's free and reduced. If everyone's getting a free meal, nobody wants to fill out the form. So we're going to have to figure out a way to capture that information.
Yes. As it relates to Title I.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a challenge that's posed. Great that everybody's getting free and reduced lunch, but we also need to make sure we're able to identify those families, those students who are free and reduced. We have a problem at our secondary schools with that, right? As students move into the secondary schools, they don't want to fill out the forms, because students typically don't want to get online and get that free and reduced lunch because of the social pressures related to being on free and reduced lunch.
Excuse my ignorance, though, but the free and reduced lunch, how is that funded? Is that special funds that we are receiving in addition? How are those meals funded?
Broad stroke is, the district makes a big effort to get people to complete the forms who are eligible, right? Based on that, our school lunch staff go into a state computer system, report counts of people, and then we have to do all the tracking for each time a meal is done. Is it a free meal? Is it a reduced lunch meal or breakfast? Or is it a paid meal? Okay?
Yeah.
So we do all this tracking, and then we take the counts for the month, report that into a system in the state on what the counts are, and they give us money each month based on those counts. So if we have people who don't fill the forms out, we don't get those funds.
Correct.
which then drives more tax costs.
But is this so program was it then executed well? Because
this is different now. Now what's happened is what I gave you is what it's been for since the flood. Okay, but beginning was it February 1st?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So beginning in February, we became eligible for a new state program, which is everybody gets free meals.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, so new money from the state for that.
It's a state program that we then met the eligibility criteria for, okay? Mm-hmm. So that was implemented February 1. So what Dr. Card is speaking to is now that we don't have to have the forms completed, right, to be able to get the eligibility, we can't get the parents are getting the meals free already. There isn't an incentive for them to fill the forms out, which then impacts on our Title I grants for eligibility to get Title I money.
Right. No, I understand that. I just wanted to, I wanted to fully appreciate that the free meal for all equates to getting more money
to
fund that.
Right.
It does. The only thing we don't know yet, which I'll know within a few more months, a lot more students are eating meals, which is a wonderful thing. So Celeste, our school meals manager, was just asking, and it was like, okay, what do you need? An extra $120,000 is her best estimate to purchase more food this year that was added to the budget because we're serving so many more meals. What we don't know yet is how will the revenue line up coming in from the federal government and through the state. For the new meals program, how will that line up with the added expenses?
And what if there's a deficit?
That goes to the tax levy.
That's interesting.
Plus our figures.
Thank you.
Okay, right?
So last question. In regards to the food, last year this time we also talked about a halal food option for our Muslim community. Has that conversation moved at all in the last year? Even like on the high school level, it's 2 days a week. Have we started a thought process behind what we can do to meet our community where they are?
That's to my knowledge.
In my area.
But there's something that we have to say about that, especially as it relates to free and reduced lunches. Okay, so if a kid goes up to the counter and they say, I want X, Y, and Z, but I don't want the milk, now it's a la carte. They got to pay for it. Because the meal is no longer reimbursable. And so when we start thinking about adding different things, especially at the elementary level, because at the high school, a lot of kids buy their meals. Once we start doing that, all those families who are getting free and reduced lunch or free lunches or breakfast now will have to start paying because it has to meet the nutritional standards set by the federal government in order to qualify for free and reduced meals. So that's something that we have to work out, and I think we need to first deal with the bear of figuring out how do we deal with free meals and whether or not we'll be able to cover our costs, and then we can begin to have that conversation. At elementary schools, it's very difficult to develop an a la carte menu because right now what we see happening, especially with free and reduced lunch, is kids are saying, oh, it's free, but I have to take all of this stuff. They take it and they throw away what they don't want. So we have to see where we're at and whether or not we're receiving sufficient funds to cover our program before we start thinking about adding to that program. But definitely I've heard this concern, and I think it's something that we do need to talk about.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Chica Crick. I wanted to ask the board if there's any response to the emails that I've sent regarding the issue with senior dues at Dutch Broadway.
That's Ms. Crick. Ms. Crick, the last meeting, I think that Dr. Card invited you to come to his office to have a discussion about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've emailed, and what I'm hearing from Dr. Card is the parents don't matter. His responses basically reflect things that are not true about the situation. So for him to say, oh, this parent group is ad hoc. And we planned this parent group from last spring, it was put together. And we worked through the summer and into the fall. The money was collected. The money is held privately. It is not under district jurisdiction, so to speak.
What I'm hearing
from Dr. Card is Ms. Kasim can take our money and do as she sees fit without any input from the body of the parent who paid for it. We also did fundraising. Again, that was organized and executed by the parents. When we needed help from the district or asked for help with tax exemption, we were told emphatically, the district has nothing to do with this. When we had an issue with communication platforms, Ms. Kasim, I was told, the district has nothing to do with this. When I brought this issue to the board through Ms. Delante, her response, the district has nothing to do with this. But the moment Ms. Kasim became aware that we may have extra money because of our fundraising, she's in charge. I don't understand the opposite interests.
Could I
when we need help, it's a parent committee.
Let me explain
right
now.
But when we have money, she's in charge.
Mrs. Crick, as I indicated to you in your email.
Emails, yes.
I invited you to come and meet with me.
Yes.
Second part. I also indicated to you, you guys sent out a letter to the parents soliciting funds for graduation activities for the students. It was sent out under the banner of the school.
No, it was not.
I have the letter signed by Mrs. Could I speak now?
But you can you interjected on me. Okay, if you want to remember, okay. So this was not sent out under the banner of the school. It's always been put out as the committee. As a matter of fact, the most recent communication to the parents about what we're paying.
Mm-hmm.
Was to the committee. Ms. Kasim took it upon herself to invite parents as the committee, but then denied any committee member from speaking in that meeting.
Ms. Crick.
She was the only one who was allowed to
Ms.
speak.
Crick.
Please don't interrupt me because
I have to.
Our
I have
communication
to.
is not working.
It is not.
And you're not the only person on the board.
Ms. Crick.
So it's like you're trying to, at all terms,
no, I'm not,
protect
actually.
Ms. Kasim and cover up,
you, keep
you know,
saying
this
her name.
Sort of. Yes, of course I'm saying her name
it's
because that was my complaint. The principal of the Dutch Broadway School. Why is it not appropriate to say her name? Do we not know that she's a district employee?
Point of clarification.
And that she's the principal of the school?
Point of clarification. There is no such thing as sixth grade committees. There is no structure in law for sixth grade committees. Let me finish.
You don't scold me. This is why I don't speak to you privately, because you seem to think that you have all the answers and you don't listen.
Mrs. Crick.
What the parents are... So let me ask you a question, especially since we have a legal person here. If this is under your jurisdiction, why didn't you guys collect the money? Why is the money under the... control of the parents?
Could I answer?
I asked the question.
Okay, I'll answer. The letter was sent out with Mrs. Kasim's signature along with the chairperson of the committee. Once Mrs. Kasim signed that letter, she took the responsibility for those funds that were being collected. Here's the next part. A parent then went to the bank and opened up a bank account. If any of that money comes up missing, it is not the parents' responsibility to return that money to the parents who gave the money. It is the building principal. And that is why there was
A guidance memorandum issued by the Nassau-Suffolk PTA in October of 2011, which stated, under no circumstances can any committee collect monies and pass it through the PTA, because the PTA's bylaws prohibit raising monies for a single grade level for a single event in schools. Therefore, there is nothing in New York State law that gives any authority at the elementary level to have separate committees. You want to have a committee outside of school and raise funds to support events for sixth graders separate from the school, you're welcome to do that.
That's what we
but
did.
But once Mrs. Kasim,
that's what we did.
Once Mrs. Kasim signed
exactly
the letter,
what you just said.
Once Mrs. Kasim signed the letter wherein you solicited money from parents for caps and gowns, you solicited monies from parents for a school trip, you solicited monies from parents for a dance that is being organized with Mrs. Kasim present. Here's the problem with committees. We want to help school, but once the school decides to tell you what direction to go in, we no longer want you. Unfortunately, the problem is Mrs. Kasim, as the building principal, signed the letter. Every parent who sent that money in, if things don't happen, they're not coming to you. They're going to the building principal. Therefore, my recommendation to the Board of Education is that we should have buildings doing activities for graduating students under the banner of the school. And if parents choose to create a committee outside of school to run events for kids graduating and soliciting money from parents, you're welcome to do that. But the two should never intertangle with each other, because then we end up in this particular situation. And I'm telling you this because after 27 years, I've seen this in every district I've gone to, where committees form either in the fifth grade or the sixth grade to do activities for students who are graduating, and they try to pass the money through the PTA, and the PTA says no. And then the principal unwittingly says, give me the money. I'm going to put it in my safe. You can't do that. It is illegal.
That's my point.
But here's
this
what happened.
This is illegal. The money should not have been collected and stored.
No, buildings could collect money.
Let me finish.
We can collect money for trips. We could collect money for dances.
But we should not
collect money and give it to a treasurer,
yep,
who is a parent who puts it into a bank account.
That's right. And
because
that's
if
what
the
your
money comes
did.
Up missing, yes,
that's,
and we talked about that.
No.
Also, one other piece. There's a board policy that speaks to fundraising in this district. The conditions under which you can fundraise in this district are enumerated. You must be specific, and you must tell the parents what you're collecting these monies for.
Yep.
You can't hold a bake sale. You can't hold a let's everybody play basketball and charge everybody a dollar without telling parents what you're going to do with that dollar.
I agree.
We got it. I've spoken to all the principals. We've had that conversation that now to fundraise, because you can't ask taxpayers to constantly give you money without a reason as to why you're collecting it. So I've spoken to Mrs. Kasim, and Mrs. Crick, once again, I will invite you to my office. We could sit down and talk. I will listen. We will work this out so that we can make sure that we get to June 26th and put in place a wonderful event for kids. We have to collaborate, and we have to get along. But next school year, I've advised the building principals to be very careful with building level committees for sixth grade activities. We can meet. We could talk. We could get through this together, okay?
Can I speak now?
Go right ahead.
So, to my point, which is what my original email was about, this whole process was illegal.
Okay.
This money was collected. You're talking about $25,000 that was collected. And it was collected outside of the policy of the board. It was collected outside the laws of New York State.
Okay.
So now that it was collected, and it's, in other words, how are you going to do what you're doing, what you're proposing, if you don't have the legal authority to store money?
She can. You already collected the money, and just as I indicated, if you're collecting it, and I think there was a follow-up meeting, where parents were told how the monies were being spent.
And it's being spent on caps and gowns, the things that I just enumerated.
Can I interject?
Go ahead.
Let me tell you about these dues, okay? Especially since we're talking about the context.
Should we talk about this?
No, folks? I would like to just get this out, please, because we've tried twice back and forth. It's not successful.
Okay.
You're one of other people on a board, and I think everyone here and the community should know that basically we're being fleeced.
Mm.
$50, less than $50, covers cap and gowns. By the way, I am the treasurer with the money in my personal account. I furnished my IRS information for this to happen at the direction of your building principal. So the fact that I'm now fighting her because she wants to overspend this money, it doesn't make logical sense. $50 covers caps and gowns, yearbooks, senior T-shirts, and a gift. $150, $80 for a trip that she orchestrated. The money was the price was never told up front. The problem is the people in the community, when they have had a trust of the school leadership. So when you tell us $200, we're thinking, oh, that's how much it costs. Now we're rolling in $80 for a day trip. We're rolling in $70 for a prom. These things should be optional. Students, families should not be forced to pay $80 for a day trip if they don't want to. They should not be forced to pay $70 for a prom if they don't want to.
I have a question.
Can I ask a question also?
Do parents have the right to request their money back if they don't want their kids to participate in those things?
It was published from your principal that there's no refunds. That's what was published. I have the money. I'll be clear.
That's why
I'm going to do what makes sense.
Okay.
I'm going to say it open. I don't care what Cynthia Cassini
says. I'm going to say this to you real
quick. I'm going to make sure because, like I said, the minute that I mentioned that we have extra money, she wanted to add things.
Mrs. Quick.
Oh, the money must be spent.
Mrs.
Oh,
Quick.
I want a breakfast. Oh, I want... Even her committee... Click.
Mrs. Quick.
Because this is what's happening. You have. I would love to be able to just get this out of my system and speak
and
out
will.
Loud.
Why don't
I
we
don't
come and
want
speak?
To meet with you.
Okay.
I don't want
That's
to.
That's fine.
I want to put this out. Tiffany,
go
please.
Ahead.
I just have a question. Dr. Carter, I heard you say that you spoke to other principals. And what I'm not taking sides here, but I am taking sides. Mm-hmm. We don't have any other sixth grade parents showing up to this meeting. We have to look at what's going on in Dutch Broadway, that this is happening, that this poor parent keeps coming to our meetings. And I heard you say you spoke to the principals, and I'm not asking you to reveal that tonight in public session, but I'm just asking if there's a way that we can meet, please. And I hear your frustration. I absolutely hear
Listen,
it. If you just give us one more chance at a private meeting, and we can work this out. Because what I also know, you keep coming to these meetings, the clock is ticking, and we don't want those kids to miss out on an opportunity
right.
for
right students. Now.
So just give us, please, I'm begging you.
I
and I'll even come if
what
I
I'm
can
saying
help.
Is right
I,
now, there is a war
I
going
you.
On at Dutch Broadway
and what we don't
between
want
the parent body and Ms. Kassim and her cronies.
I know. Let's take
That's
it out.
What's
Let's
happening.
Take it out of the building, though.
Okay. I am in possession of the money.
But what I
and
I
refuse to spend on things. $1,000 for decorations. Why?
No, I hear you.
They're
hear
12
you.
Years old. It's
I
not
hear.
Necessary.
So I'm asking you one more time for a private meeting. And I'm even offering, I'll come. I'll take a half day off work, and we can come during the day. I'll sit with Dr. Carter. I'm familiar with the 2011. I was in New York State PTA when that came up that he's referring to. I can't imagine that out of six buildings, you all can't get through this. I promise you that. And if
there
you
are
give
other
us,
parents.
I know.
The problem is parents are not aware.
Just give
There's
us one more
There's a blind
meeting.
Trust while they're being fleeced for things. Listen, you have people telling parents that their kids cannot graduate if they don't give this $200. What absurdity. What absurdity. They needed $50. Well, that's the thing. They would believe it because they don't know. We have families who are not originally from this country. Okay?
And they don't want their kids to miss out on
that experience. Different backgrounds, people that feed into this authoritarian view of school leadership.
No, we're not, we don't change that.
So, Ms. Crick, would you come for a meeting?
What I would like to hear is that a policy is going to be put in place because what I can't speak on Ms. Kasim's motives, but what I've realized is that these illegalities have gone on because there's no even guidance for her on the record to say this is appropriate, this is not appropriate. And then talkless of the parents that are, you know, coming behind her thinking that she knows, and clearly I know that she doesn't know.
Ms. Crick, the only way that this is resolved is through a meeting.
But can we, what is the process for a policy? That's
well,
my
the
question.
Policy is already set. We can't collect monies.
It's happening. So that's what I'm saying. There needs to be a clearer guideline so that moving forward, anyone, you guys not,
Crick,
can tell
Mrs.
them,
Crick, real
oh,
quick,
the policy.
Real quick. In schools, Board of Education sets policy.
Right.
Schools can initiate procedures and practices as long as they don't violate New York State law or board policy. New York State law does not have any procedures in place for there to be committees nor clubs at the elementary level.
Or only, money collection.
I'm not finished. Only at the secondary level.
Right.
Elementary schools can collect money from parents for kids to go on trips.
Right.
They could collect money for kids to have a party. They could collect money for kids to have a picnic. They could do a fundraiser as long as it's in line with the district policy. What you're talking about is a system that has emerged over time that we need to check.
Yes.
The only way we're going to be able to do that is if we sit down together and have a discussion. Our discussion needs to focus on our goals. What is the goal? To ensure that our sixth grade students have a lovely sixth grade experience.
That's not my goal.
Okay.
My goal is for the board to... Listen, there are other school districts that have written policies on this. Something that says everything you just said, that you should not be collecting dues, basically this amount of money with no itemized cost.
Okay,
so that's what
out.
I'm asking. What is the process for something
could
in writing?
Could you help me out? Since you've seen that policy, could you bring it to our meeting?
I emailed you.
I didn't see
a policy. The one from the Chancellor of New York.
The Chancellor?
Yes.
New York City?
Yeah, Chancellor of New York City.
Okay, New York City is a different animal.
Yeah, no, but still, we also use New York City as a template for because you don't have one.
Okay,
I presented it as an example.
I'll tell you what. I'll review it, and then you, myself, and Ms. Capers, we could.
But see, you haven't even read it.
Ms. Garlic,
I sent it to you.
But
that tells me, Dr. Carter, because I'm going to tell you, my vibe from you is. The parents don't matter,
okay,
and the principal's in charge.
It's unfortunate.
I gave you
these
same things you're mentioning. Yes. I gave it to you, and you're now acknowledging that you paid it no attention.
All right, so we can meet. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Quake.
Thank you. Hi.
Okay.
Can we have that meeting with? At least the offer of an invite to a representative from each of the school's sixth grade committees so we can all get in the room because everybody's got a different experience.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there are very different things going on in each school
right. So
that we can maybe compile a bunch of information and together build a policy moving forward.
We can have that discussion. Yes.
So a policy is on the table? That's what I'm listening for, but I'm not
I will review what you've sent to me, and then we'll set up a meeting, and we'll have that conversation. How's that?
Okay.
I
have one more question.
Okay.
So
I won't interrupt you, I promise.
For PTA meetings on Zoom, for PTA meetings in person, for the previous sixth grade meeting that the principal of Dutch Broadway, we cannot say her name, started, mm-hmm. we've been told that it's district policy that parents cannot speak on a Zoom meeting. This is how we're being censored. We're told, I'm telling you, that when their information is presented, because of district policy, parents cannot speak on Zoom. In person, it's, oh, well, send email Ms. Kasim your questions. This is how we're being censored. So I want to ask the board, is there a district policy that says that the parents cannot speak on Zoom when a meeting is held or hosted by the principal?
No policy. However, I do not speak for PTA. PTA is governed by its own bylaws.
But the principal is running it, and it's coming from her, even if they have school events.
Right.
Anything that's on Zoom, we're told that because of district security policy, that no one can speak.
I will get clarification. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good evening.
I'm sorry, Mr. Palmer. Ms. Crick, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is the PTA using the school's Zoom account, or are you all using your own Zoom account for those meetings? Whose Zoom account is it?
For PTA.
For that meeting.
I don't know who owns the account. What mm-hmm. I know is that Ms. Kasim is usually the host.
She's hosting the meeting.
She's usually the host.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, I want to clarify, too, that as he said, this is not the sixth grade thing was different. We're not PTA at all. So I'm saying there was an invitation to parents from sixth grade committee, which we had nothing to do with. The parents were invited, and then only Ms. Kasim was allowed to speak. So parents, the 90 other parents who paid their money were not allowed to interact, and they came. They listen. They know I'm involved. They say, "Wait a minute, you're the committee. Why was she speaking?" And I tell them, "That's your principal."
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Dwayne Palmer. I'm a resident. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question to Sheldon Meikle about the page 14, item number 7, district term technology. I believe you said that the two people that are getting paid $35 an hour, this is summer employment? Is that what the quote was? Or is this, because it doesn't say that in the minutes. It says.
What page again?
It's page
14.
Page 14?
Superintendent that employed.
Right, the compensation would be $35 an hour per contract? I'm sorry.
They still right here.
Right, so is that on top of the paid salary? Okay, so this is in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not in regards to what's happening tonight?
No.
Okay. And again, I don't want to look a gift to us in the mouth. I know this is something that the committee has asked for many months, and we finally got it. So we do want to acknowledge and say thank you for doing it. But as a skeptic of this board, I got to say that Mr. Jaime never misses an opportunity to squeeze even more juice out of the Almont candy store. And I want to make sure that's not what's happening tonight. So speaking of which, I do want to go back to where we started the meeting, because I did look onto your quoted document, New York Education Law 1709. And I know that we're going to use parliamentary tricks and say that these are employee personnel issues and we're not going to discuss it. So I want to ask about process, because I was a little confused at the last month's meeting, because the attorney did a really good job with the rope-a-dope and initially told us that the board did not have the power to remove a board member. And then let me finish my comment, and then I want to just read from the document just to make sure that I'm clear. Because at the end of the night, then it was the board did have the power to remove. However, there was some stipulation. So Section 1709 is just what you directed us to. Powers and the duties of the Board of Education says that the Board of Education of every union-free school district
shall have the power, and it shall be its duty. And then if I go down to item 18, to remove any member of their board for official misconduct, but a written copy of all charges made of such misconduct shall be served upon him or her at least 10 days before the time appointed for a hearing of the same, and he or she shall be allowed a full and fair opportunity to refute such charges before removal. So that's the document that you said we should refer to. There's nothing in that document, and I've read throughout the meeting, that says that it has to be a private meeting. Now, whether it does or doesn't is not my question. I just, for the record, this board has the power to remove a board member for misconduct. Is that correct? By state law?
That is correct. And what I wanted to make sure you understood was I said the board could not remove a board member on the spot as it was being presented. There had been no due process. There had been no charges.
Right.
And they could not do that without going through the proper procedures. So not that they could not do it, but that they could not do it in the method in which they were trying to do it that night.
Okay, I'm not sure that it was very clear that night, but thank you for that clarification. My other question is, since this is the process, has Trustee Jaime been served or given a 10-day notice regarding a removal? Has that process begun as written in law?
No.
No? Okay. Will he be given a 10-day process?
We are awaiting advisement from our NISBA.
Okay. And that's a meeting that has been set up?
As I said previously, we're trying to set up that meeting,
right,
get board members together.
So has there been, within the last month since the community's request for his removal, has there been any meeting with NISBA representatives regarding this issue or the removal of a board member? And with this, the meeting that you're trying to set up, is that a second meeting, or would that be the initial meeting?
That would be a second meeting for me, because I reached out to them.
So, okay, so there's already been some discussion about this?
Yes.
Okay. And then I think, so this is what, April 9th. So I just want to be very clear, and I think clear last month, that any board member that refers to their constituency, even if they disagree with them, as crazy bees, or fellow board members, do not deserve the seat that they're sitting in. And I think that as we move to an election, it is important for this community to know where members of this board stand regarding the removal of that member, which is what this community has asked for. And what was asked in the last meeting, when we had an open motion on the floor, was for this board to take a vote. Now, whatever your vote is, but it just seems to us that this board is looking to protect Trustee Jaime with these parliamentary tricks of special meetings, executive board meetings, private sessions, where we're kind of locked out of the process that happens in the dead of night and doesn't move. As a matter of fact, in the minutes, at the last meeting, it was said that a special meeting would be held the very next day and the community would be advised. It's been more than 30 days. We've got no notice of a special meeting or even a notice to say we've met with the NISMA board and we're going to postpone. So we've been completely in the dark and hanging in terms of what's happening with this motion. And I'm just going to say that for me, and I think I speak for at least some members of this community, that is wholly unacceptable for that man to continue to be on his board with the language that he directed either at a fellow board member or someone in this community that is captured on recording. And it's 30 days later, and I guarantee you that I've watched Dr. Card, that if this is a staff member that's talking to a parent or a student, that staff member probably would be terminated immediately with due process. If it is a student or scholar directing it at a teacher or a parent or a fellow student, there would have been immediate disciplinary action. We're 30 days in, a trustee of this board, one of seven, refer to a fellow board member as a crazy bee or a community member, and to our knowledge, nothing has happened besides parliamentary tricks, and that is unacceptable, and this community deserves a vote. we deserve to know where this board stands with the retention of Trustee Jaime. Thank you very much.
Last question for the night, for me anyway. So we're going back to page 14, number 7, district technology. Because it doesn't state anywhere here that it's about summer. But you know what? We'll take your word for it. Not, well, they'll take your word. I'm not taking anybody's word at this board at this point. Because there's nowhere here. In fact, when you go back to number five says academic enrichment summer school. Right? Number five. Then number six goes to curriculum mapping. So that's a totally different, as far as I'm concerned, it's a totally different area. How do we go from summer school? Hold on, I'm not finished. How do we go from summer school to curriculum meeting, and then we go to district technology, and we're just supposed to assume that has to do with summer, knowing that one of these gentlemen is the son of a sitting board member? This is the point I'm getting to. This is a problem. So I guess the question is,
hold on,
what is the qualifications for a tech assistant? Are we planting people in these positions? What qualifies the two people that you put in those positions? What is the job description? What is the qualifications to be a tech assistant? Other than you're the family member of a board member. Mr. Delahanty, I apologize. This isn't throwing shade at the way this is structured, but people are picking apart every single thing that this board does. I'm sitting here. We have over 70 people watching right now, and I'm getting flooded with questions. Flooded with questions. People are concerned. This board needs to get it together. And I'm going to continue. We'll continue every single month till we get it straight. May 21st are coming up. We got three seats coming up. My suggestion is you guys make a motion very soon to remove that sitting board member so that you can at least get good faith out of us. So that if you're running again for next election, that at least you'll have a shot at it. But right now, at what we're looking at and all that's going on, and that you're continuing to have this veil of what the board is doing, lack of transparency, not following up on questions, there's a problem. So, in closing, thank you very much for your time. Have a good night.
The next Board of Education meeting, the regular meeting, will be held on May 14th, Tuesday at 8 p.m. at Clara H. Carlson. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Is that a regular meeting or a special meeting?
It's a regular meeting. Move. Second, Ms. Early Davis. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved.